Good afternoon and happy new year, Penn fans. Adam Herzog here along with 00 Vince Curran. Today, the Pennsylvania Quakers, it's Big 5 game number 3 on the season. They take on the Villanova Wildcats here at the Pavilion. Quakers coming into this game, 4-3 overall, Villanova 6-1, riding a 5-game win streak. The Quakers, of course, have been off for break 23 days. It's the longest layoff in Penn basketball history. We'll see how they come out in the first half, given the rest. Vince, they go into that break on a game, not necessarily a great way to go into that long layoff with a crushing loss to Temple, a game they had down the stretch, and Temple, Marty Collins, does too much, a 52-51 loss. But they've had some time to regroup, forget about it, and gear up tonight for a very athletic Villanova team.
Penn got kicked in the groin and had 23 days to think about it. There's no other way to do it. It had a game in their grasp at Temple, had the ability to finish that game, unable to score in the last 3 minutes. Temple made the plays that they had to make coming down the stretch. Penn had to sit there and think about that for 23 days, through 23 days of practice, sitting at home on Christmas Day or Hanukkah or whatever the players were celebrating, and that is the last memory that they have as game action at the University of Pennsylvania. They're going to get another crack at it tonight, and it's not going to be an easy test. Villanova playing pretty well right now, haven't really been tested yet, played Middle Tennessee State, probably their biggest test. They had three transfers from Georgia on that Middle Tennessee State team, handled them fairly easily. Villanova has been playing very good defense, more consistent offense, and it's the old adage, the best thing about freshmen is that they become sophomores. In this case, for Villanova, the best thing about sophomores is that they become juniors, and they're starting to round into their potential. It's been years and years of talking about great recruiting class. These guys are winners. This is the team. And it has not happened. As you said to me when we were talking offline, 5 straight years in the NIT for Villanova, that's not going to make any of the fans around here happy.
Not in a year, an anniversary year of the 1985 championship team. Yeah. Draw even more attention to that fact.
This is the land of high expectations. This is the land of entitlement that these people that are fans for Villanova feel that they deserve to be in that tournament every year, and they feel like they deserve to be a Duke or somebody like that that's going to win it every once in a while. I don't know whether that's a fact of life in today's college basketball environment, but these guys are now getting older, and they're now starting to play with a little bit more confidence, and they know the systems, and they're playing defense. So it'll be an interesting game today.
Vince, a happy new year, by the way, to you and your family as we head into 2005. Quakers, this is their 8th game in Penn history on New Year's Eve, and it's Franz Ludwig's first. The Quakers haven't played on New Year's Eve since 1963. And a 69-51 loss to Texas, a game that none of us really were there to watch.
Here's the good news, Adam. At this point, Dump's undefeated on New Year's Eve, hoping that we can continue that trend today.
That'd be a good one.
Nothing but the best, baby.
This more Penn news during the break. Freshman Michael Catch, point guard, came coming in after the first 7 games, 3.7 points a game, averaged a rebound a game, shot 30% from the outside. Is out, has left the team for personal reasons. Tell us what the impact of Michael Catch's loss has on this Penn Quaker team.
Well, Adam, I asked Coach Dunphy a little bit about that in our interview, which we'll play in a little bit, but what is going to happen is it impacts, you now have 3 guards instead of 4. Catch wasn't getting a ton of minutes, but he was that second point guard. He was the point guard off the bench that could give EB a blow. Now it's going to be a little bit more of Tim Begley handling the ball. He did that in the Temple game. Eric Osmondson may get a little more chance to run the point, and Eby's going to have to play a little bit more.
And Vince, a guy, Tim Begley, hadn't seen much rest anyway to begin with this season, and it puts a lot more burden on him.
No doubt about it, but you know, Dump won't take that as excuses. He always says, hey, these 20, 22-year-old guys, 19, whatever the age is, they should be in the best shape of their life. They should be able to play 40 minutes.
Well, Vince, you just mentioned your interview with head coach Franz Ludwig. Before the game, you did have a chance to catch up with Coach Dunphy, looking ready to go in game form for tonight's matchup on New Year's Eve between he and Villanova.
It's been Dump Week for me. I caught him last night at the Jay Wright Show. I caught him this afternoon. Caught him a little bit earlier over break. Lucky me.
That's funny, because he told me this week was more like Vince Week. Anyway, here's the interview with Vince Curran and Fran Dunphy.
Here with Penn Coach Fran Dunphy, preparing for Villanova here on a beautiful New Year's Eve afternoon, Big Five Classic. Should be a great crowd today, Coach. 4-3 after seven games. Kind of won the games you should won. They should have won. Temple slipped away. It's been a long layoff, from what I understand, the longest layoff in Penn history. You got to stick in your craw a little bit after the long layoff. Anything you did to help the guys move on, and any developments that happened during the long layoff?
It sounds like a media-type person saying that 23 days is the longest in the history of Penn basketball. Only a media guy would bring that up.
A true media guy.
And now that you're a media guy, and you know me, Vince, I'm really helping the guys come along after 23 days off. You know, we got to get the job done, and this is our first opportunity now in a long stretch. But thankfully, we won't have another long stretch this season. There'll be 1 week where we play Lafayette on the 18th and St. Joe on the 25th. But in the last couple of years, we've had longer stretches. We've had long stretches once we hit January, and that's not what you want to do. So now we're in a situation where we're going to play a lot of games, and we're looking forward to it. And you're right about the previous games. Temple would have been a great win for us if we could have just found a way to close that thing out, and that would have been a great start for our season.
And in terms of any developments, I heard a couple of players were considering things during the time off. Anything that anybody would like to know about that?
Well, Mike Katz just decided he did not want to play basketball anymore. Disappointing, no question about it. One of the things you always wish for your guys is that you don't ever want to do something that you're going to regret in the future. And I don't quite understand it. I'll support him, and I'll respect his decision, but I don't quite understand it. And just hope he's happy in whatever it is he chooses to do.
Back to between the lines, you've had a couple of big wins, a couple of big losses. I think the quality of the opponents may have contributed to the big losses. Is there anything you and the staff noticed from the losses that you can take away, you've been able to correct, maybe build on?
Well, certainly from the Providence game, we did not play well in any stretch, at any time during the game, nor in any area of the game. Our transition defense was terrible, and we deserved to get our butt kicked against Providence. Against Wisconsin, we played very well. Sounds crazy when you see the score, but we had shot after shot. We just couldn't make a shot. Certainly, we played well on the offensive, and we could have defended better, but I don't know how much better offense we could have executed. And so you saw it coming, and then with the Drexel game, we scored some points, made some shots. Bucknell and then LaSalle, we did okay. And then Temple, again, we played well for a vast majority of the game, just couldn't score in the last 3 minutes and needed to do a better job defensively as well.
Tim Begley, obviously the leader of this year's team, has been terrific. It seemed like the light really went on for him last year. About the time you played Bucknell up there, Jeff Schiffner had been kind of the entire offense, and Tim stepped into that role from a complimentary player to more of a star. You see that happening this year? You have a real focus on Beggs as part of the offense. So far, Evie and Oz have been a little bit reluctant to kind of step into that second scorer role. Obviously, Oz did it at Temple. Do you think there's a consistent second shooter to keep the defenses honest?
Well, they're certainly going to have to be, and Oz is one of those guys that's going to have to step up. It was nice to see him do what he did against Temple. And I think Evie is still working into who the player he's going to become. And he has moments. He has stretches of games where he's very, very good. Now I think he's about ready to be as consistent a performer as we have. And unless he does that, we can't have the kind of season we want to have. So Evie's another key component to this. And then up front, we've got some guys, too, that have to step up. A guy like Jan, that would be really nice if Jan would now arrive on the scene for us.
Following right into my next question, you read my mind, Coach. We went kind of from the perimeter now to the interior. You've got the three sophomore big men that have been giving you some consistent contributions. Zoller's put up some good numbers in games. He seems to struggle a little bit defensively and maybe against those bigger, more athletic guys. Fortunately, when Zoller struggles, Petinella seems to step it up, and Danley's probably been the most consistent of those three. In a game like tonight, Petinella, maybe with his length and athleticism, do you see him getting a little bit more activity and minutes out there? Or do you see it, you're hoping that it's going to be Jan or one of the other guys? How do you see the rotation evolving, not only for this game, but heading into the rest of the season?
Well, it would be really nice if they could all split that time and be very consistent in their efforts. You know, again, for the most part, you're asking Jan to step up. He's a senior now, you know, and it's time to arrive on the scene, as we talked about. So it would be nice if he would really come to the forefront, scoring-wise, defending, rebounding, those kinds of things. But the three sophomores have been good basketball players for us in the past, and I think they will hopefully get better as the year goes on here. It's still young in the season, 21 games left. So we need a consistent effort both from the backcourt and from those four guys up front, and I'm hoping they all get their good run in there tonight.
I know you like to look at everything through rose-colored glasses and accentuate the positives, but in watching all the games this year, I would say probably the biggest negative has been the turnovers. Other than LaSalle and Temple, I think we've had more turnovers than assists in every game. I think part of that, from as a fan's perspective, is there seems to be a push to get into the offense quickly, get the rebound, push it up, and force that other team to play defense for long stretches of time. Do you think that's all of it, or do you think there's something else that's contributing to the turnovers and the lack of assists? There's not really anybody that's creating shots for other players.
I'm not sure we have the most creative team. I think we have to run an offense to get good shots, and we have to be executing and be technically sound by running that offense. That being said, I think most teams want to push it, and if a good shot comes to be within 10 seconds of the possession, then go ahead and shoot it. But I think decision-making is the biggest issue in terms of turnovers. If you're a good decision-maker, you're probably down low in your turnover numbers. If you're not, then you're probably throwing basketballs away that are leading to easy baskets at the other end. And that's the biggest thing about a turnover, is that it leads to very easy hoops down the other end, and that's what you want to try to avoid.
Okay, that was Vince Kern with head coach Brad Dunphy. And let's hit the starting lineups here. Just before tip, between the Quakers and the Villanova Wildcats, Penn 1-1 in the Big 5, Villanova 1-1 in the Big 5, Valley Temple, who is 2-0 with wins over both the Quakers and Wildcats. For the Quakers, starting Eric Osmondson, 6'6 senior, 200 pounds of Carlsbad, California, 6 points a game for Oz, coming off a 20-point performance against Temple in what might be a breakout game. Jimmy Jabber, a 6'2 sophomore, 170 from Elizabeth, New Jersey, 8.4 points a game, a team-high 21 steals, leads the Ivy League in steals with 3 a game. Tim Begley, 6'6 senior, 320 from Freehold, New Jersey, 15.9 points a game. He is shooting 48% from 3. That leads the Ivy League. And Steve Danley, 6'8 sophomore, 215 from Germantown, Maryland, 9.7 points a game, 5 rebounds for Danley. He's joined by Jan Fickiel, 6'10 senior, 215 from Ulm, Germany, 5.4 points a game. Breakers, of course. Brad Dunphy, the head coach, in his 16th season. And he's going up against Jay Wright in his 4th season. And the Villanova Wildcats off to their best start, 5-game win streak, 6-1. We'll go into the schedule in a bit, but Villanova not leaving the city of Philadelphia for a non-conference game. For Villanova, start Randy Foy at the point, a 6'3 junior, 205 from Newark, New Jersey, 13.7 points a game, along with 5 rebounds, shoots only 34% though from way downtown. Alan Ray, 6'2 junior, 200 pounds, from the Bronx, 15 points a game, 2.9 boards. Ray shoots 54% from the field, 48% from 3. A very talented backcourt for the Villanova Wildcats. But the guy on Villanova to look out for is Curtis Sumter down low, a 6'7 junior, 225 from Brooklyn, New York. 18.3 points a game leads the team, coming off a season-high 26 points against Middle Tennessee State. Also getting the start down low, Will Sheridan, a 6'8 sophomore, 238 from Bear, Delaware, averaging 3.6 points a game. And rounding out the starting five, getting the start, is Mike Gardy, the 6'1 sophomore from Linden, New Jersey. Gardy, who killed Penn last year. This year, only 4 of 31 for 3. That's 13%, and Gardy averaging just under 5 points a game. Villanova in the home whites. Villanova in blue across the front with numbers in blue. Front and back, names on the back of the jerseys. Penn in the away red. Penn written across the front, all set for the tip, Danley and Sheridan, and it's won by Villanova, back to Nardi, as Villanova starts left to right. Those Quaker unis, the new reds, and block letters across the front in blue, as Foy going to the hole. They're going to call a foul on Osmondson, and they'll take it out of bounds. And the Quakers, rest of those unis, blue trim up and down the sides, numbers front and back, blue and white trim.
That opens up man-to-man, not a good start. Eric Osmondson fouls Foy going to the basket. Penn's going to need to stay in front of Villanova and take away the penetration.
And it's interesting to see how long they stick with the man-to-man. against his very athletic team. Now Sumpton takes Sicchio to the hole, layup no good. Rebound Sheridan, rips it down from Jabber. Back out to Nardi, spot up three is good. So 3-0 Villanova.
4-for-31 coming into this game, Adam, and of course bangs down the first one.
Yeah, but 2-for-4 against Middle Tennessee State. Kind of trying to snap out of it as the Quakers nearly turn it over. The Osmondson catch and shoot three on the left side is good from Begley. And the game is tied at 3. 19 minutes. First half just underway.
Villanova opened up in the man-to-man, extended the defense out. They're not going to sit back in a zone like Temple and let Penn pick their spots and make their shots. That time, Penn does a nice job splitting the double team, gets it to Oz, hits that shot. Same one that he hit from the left wing about five times against Temple.
Clear out for Sumpter. Down the lane, lays it home. Sicchio is no match. That is a big-time advantage for Villanova. Now full-court pressure here, and the Quakers break it. Jabber in the front court, but has to hold it up. Foy gets back out to Oz. Pump fakes the three. Sumpter comes out. 5-3 Nova. Playing about $1.20 here on New Year's Eve. And Sicchio. Turnaround 10-footer. Rims in and out. No good. Wide open shot on the left side. And the rebound Sumpter. Now Villanova pushing to Temple. Foy has it. Left wing. Center of the floor for Sumpter. He takes a three. It's short. No good. Rebound Danley.
Sumpter looking to get his shot going early. Knows that Jan Sicchio is going to have a hard time guarding him. That time didn't put any pressure. Settled for the jumper.
Oh, a nice little backdoor from Oz to Sicchio on the layup. Ryan Pettinella is off the bench already, by the way. Under two minutes into this game, Vince, and this game tied at 5.
I think Coach Duffy might be looking at Pettinella for a defensive adjustment. Not normally getting players into the game that quickly, unless somebody's hurt, but who can't see it as at this point.
Well, all right. Looking at Sicchio and Sumpter, it's not pretty, the first two possessions. Here's Nardi off the high screen. No good. Follows his shot, and it's going to be out of bounds on Sheridan. Sheridan and Nardi colliding on the right baseline, 15 feet away. It goes out of bounds, and Ryan Pendel actually coming in for Danley. So Danley comes out of the game. So Sicchio and Pettinella down low for Penn, and Villanova still a little full court pressure. The 1-2-2, and the ball goes off Pettinella's hands out of bounds.
Pettinella wants to get more minutes. That ball hits him right in the hand. Jan Sicchio does a nice job of seeing the lane, has Pettinella over half court, which would have broken the pressure. Unfortunately for Pettinella, the ball goes off his hands out of bounds.
Yeah. 5-all, so teams exchange turnovers. Boyle crossover, dribbling around in the lane. Nothing there. Nice job by Osmondson, keeping him in front of him. Back to Foy for three. Right side, good. Tough shot by Randy Foy, who shoots only 34%. From way downtown, as the Quakers again a lot of pressure. Ball loose on the floor, picked up by Jabber, and he gets it out to Oz. A lot of contact, there's no ball. I mean, the guys are knocking into Penn Quaker players, and finally there's a call against Villanova on Sheridan. It'll be 10 ball underneath the basket near side, 17:09 to play in the half, 8-5 Villanova.
That's the style Villanova wants to play, though. They want to use their strength and their athleticism. It's going to be up to Penn to take that and turn it around against Villanova.
Sicchio gets the long inbounds pass to Begley at the left wing. Skip pass right to Oz. Center of the floor now for Jabber. Back to Oz. It's the right wing extended. Brings it to the center of the floor. By 3 minutes, Oz looking to get it down low, and they're going to call a foul, I believe, on Sumpter. Trying to box. Trying to play a little defense on Sicchio. A hold. So the Quakers get the call. Underneath, they'll take it out with a fresh 35.
Quakers got bailed out that time. Sumpter was caught on the baseline. Osmondson tried to throw it to the baseline, didn't really have an angle. Bobby Donato bailing out the Quakes on that call. There was contact, but Penn really didn't force the action.
Here's Begley fighting through a screen with Foy. Begley, a wild leader in the lane, no good. Ball picked up by Sumpter. It's still 8-5 Nova, 16:30 to play. Here's Nardi on the other end, dribbling around on Jabber, backs it out of the lane near center court, setting things up on the offense.
Nardi really quick from this spot, Adam. He's got 5 feet from us.
And speaking of quick, here's Jabber with the strip. He's got no help, has to back it up on the right side, and he's going to take a three. And air ball it to Pettinella. Pump fake goes up, fouled on the layup, no good. And it'll be 2 free throws coming up for Ryan Pettinella, Vince. And it's been an adventure at the free throw line this season for Ryan. 2-9 at the line.
I'm feeling it right here, Adam. He looks like he's a little confident, a little time off. He's going to knock these down. Penn needs him to knock him down right now. 16-20 to go, 8-5 Nova, Pettinella with two. I was commenting on how quick Nardi looked. Nardi got a little loose with the ball.
No good, spins out.
Should have gone down, Adam. Evie Jabber makes him pay. Quick hands by Evie, and then he gets to the other end and decides, hey, you know what? I stole it. I'm shooting it.
Jason Frazier's about to check into the game. took his cover off. He doesn't have a uniform on.
Did the old Ralph Mouth.
He has no uniform. He has to go back to the locker room.
Unbelievable. He went to check into the game, and the uniform's in the lockers. Pettinella makes the second free throw. Amazing.
I've never seen that before. I forgot to dress.
He figured he wasn't getting in today.
Jason Frazier. So coming into the game is Marcus Austin, the 6'9 senior who started last game, 238 from Irvington, New Jersey. 3.8 points a game for Austin. You know, you're trying to get him. McDonald's All-American in. Left his Happy Meal back in the locker room.
Yeah, he's a Geno's.
Here's a spot-up three from Foy. Well short, no good. Rebound Begley, looking to break it. And he's going to get it over the timeline himself. Finds Vicky on top of the circle. Looking for Pettinella in the low block. Nice move to the hole. Foul, shot no good. Pettinella to the line for two.
Nice high-low that time. Vicky gets the ball from Begley as the press gets broken. Comes over half court. I wasn't sure that he had the angle to get it to him. Fortunately, the ball gets down there, and Pettinella takes it up strong, draws the foul.
Timeout on the floor with 15:54 to play in the first half. 8-6 is the score. Villanova on top, but the Quakers doing a good job hanging in there. By the way, Vince, this score in the Ivy League today, the only other game as we go down the stretch at Princeton, 3:26 to play, 71-50. The Tigers over Loyola, Maryland, as Princeton comes back from the road in Texas.
All right, Adam, that's the last we will mention that game. We pretty much can assume Princeton's going to win. That's all. I don't want to ruin my New Year.
Vince, should we talk about something that make you happier? Let's talk about Princeton's loss to Temple. A couple weeks ago, is that a little better?
Let's talk about what we have in front of us, Adam. I just saw Jason Frazier come running out of the locker room, so he's got his uniform. He's going to check in the game. Pettinella's going to go to the free throw line. He's going to get two shots coming up here. Villanova has tried to dictate tempo. They have been very aggressive, pushing the ball up the floor. For a team that hasn't scored a whole lot this year, they're trying to use their athleticism and their strength. Now, what has also happened is long shots leading to long rebounds. Villanova is a team that has also really been very good on the boards this year. They've attacked and attacked and attacked. They're doing the same thing here tonight. Long rebounds. Nardi almost got one as the ball was going out of bounds. A couple other loose floorboards. Penn's got to do a better job of getting into their man and then attacking those rebounds. Otherwise, Villanova looks like they're going to outquick them to them all night.
You're just joining us, everyone. Happy New Year. Adam Herzog with Vince Curran. Here from the pavilion, the Ski Lodge here, a place the Quakers have never won here at Villanova. 8-6, the home team. But the Quakers, despite the 23-day layoff, look fairly sharp out there. The story, early story for Penn, Ryan Pettinella coming in. He has two free throws right now. Stepping to the line, and an early substitution in the first 2 minutes, Vince, as Steve Danley takes a seat on the bench, and here's Ryan Pettinella getting a chance.
It'll be interesting to find out if Danley's hurt or whether Dump went with Pettinella, who knocked down the first free throw. I talked to him a little bit about this in the pregame. He's a little bit longer. He's got the ability to get his shot off against those bigger players in traffic. Maybe this is a good matchup for him.
Second shot no good, so Pettinella 2-4 at the line. 8-7, Villanova, 15:50 to play here. We saw it against Temple, his athleticism down low. The rest of the Penn big men not able to do much against those big boys down low. Butler has Frazier down low in the game with a uniform foul. Layup no good, but a foul on Ryan Pettinella. And Frazier will head to the line to shoot two, 71%.
Here's the issue there. I'm not sure what more Pettinella can do. He tried to play Frazier and push him off the block. Once the ball got there, it looked like he stayed there with his hands up. One of those, he asked the official, well, what do you want him to do, get out of his way? He's got to be able to maintain that position. Frazier does a nice job of jumping into him, steps up, makes the first free throw, 9-7 Villanova.
And Frazier, who's been hampered at McDonald's All-American out of Amityville, New York, hampered by injuries his first couple of years here, and it's really now starting to get healthy and back into it.
He has been the Amityville horror in terms of his injury situation. Makes the second free throw, and hopefully for Villanova fans, he can continue to get a little bit more healthy and get a little better and get more playing time.
Quakers have 2 seconds to get it over the line. Jabber does. Skip pass right left to Ficchio. Nice job to Begley. Right side behind the arc. Ozil pass to Pettinella. Nice little spin move with the one-hander. Up and in over Sumter. And it's 10-9 Nova. We've played just about 5 minutes in the Ryan Pettinella offensive show.
Actually, I think it was Randy Foy. And the difference was Pettinella got it against Foy in the low block. Takes the hook shot. Jan takes the 10-footer, not able to knock it down.
Well, Frazier gets the position on Picchiel and lays it up and in with the layup. And it's 12-9 Villanova. More full court pressure. Man full court. As Begley's got it.
Kickball.
Get the Quakers another chance as Foy gets a his right foot on it.
Good call. Right in front of his kick ball. Quakers get bailed out. New 35-second shot clock. Villanova hasn't been attacking as much in this press, but they've been forcing Penn to take time getting it over, then attack when it comes over half court.
And here's Jabber from Fickyell. Beautiful pass down the lane. A give and go in 12-11 Nova with 14:45 to play in the half.
That's the second or third nice pass from Jan Fickyell today. Really doing a nice job in the press. And his Jabber going to the basket there.
And Jabber with a kick ball. So two number twos with kick saves and buttes as Mark Zoller will come into the game for Jan Fickyell. Mark Zoller, 6'6 sophomore, 2'10 from Bluebell, Pennsylvania. 7.3 points a game for Zoller, 6.5 boards.
John did a nice job there in the offense, helping Penn break the press. Now Penn just got a lot smaller. Frazier's still out there for Villanova. So it'll be interesting to see how Penn does with this smaller lineup. A little bit more offense, but obviously going to be a tough time defensively and in the boards.
Foy has it into the game. Kyle Lowry, freshman, as Foy hits baseline jumper off the mark. Lowry flying in, can't get it. Lowry coming off of surgery on his knee in October, already back in the lineup. Quakers go back underneath Zoller. In the lane, kicks it out on the baseline to Oz. Shot blocked by Frazier. Safe from going out of bounds by Foy, and Oz recovers. Now it's Lowry spinning all over, nearly turns it over, but finds Darty on the right side. Ball tipped by Pettinella in the lane. Darty gets it back to Frazier, and Villanova's going to control with under 14 to play in the half and a 12-11 lead.
Two excellent defensive rotations that last time by Ryan Pettinella. Zoller's got to control that ball. He tried to dribble it out of there. Nardi's just too quick and knocked it away.
Foy down the lane, sitting, losing it, getting it back. Bounce pass to Frazier on Pettinella. Up and over Pettinella for the layup. And Jason Frazier, who we didn't see last year in this game, Vince, is certainly making his presence felt. 14-11. Quakers down three, 13:30 and a half. And now Zoller double team in the trap. Outlets it to Oz. Puts it on the floor. Pettinella on the left baseline. Reverse layup blocked by Frazier, but out of bounds by Sumpter. And it'll be Penn ball.
Decent take that time by Pettinella if he's playing against the 6'8 center. When you're playing against the 6'11, go up there, try and dunk it right on his dome. Now, Frazier looks like he's a little bit winded, or he might have come down a little awkwardly, so we'll have to keep an eye on that one, too, Adam.
Pettinella takes a breather. Fickyell in as the Quakers have the ball. Dagley hasn't done much, but throws it away into the first row of Penn fans. Thought Danley was going to spot out. And he didn't.
Again, bad angle there. Tim Bezley used to throwing that one to a guard. Instead of finishing the cutout, Danley, realizing he has a smaller man, drops to try and post him up. It's just a little miscommunication, not getting it done.
So they are making the 10 guards work on both ends of the floor. Sumpter has it 17 feet away, and they're going to call an offensive foul on Frazier.
It's so damnly. It's so damnly. You know, just to be in the mix like that, to draw one, I'm sure it gives. I didn't even see it, but I'll bet you if Frazier got caught bringing one up under his chin, Danley taking one for the team right there.
That's a 15th foul against Villanova. Jabber, Begley and Oz, Danley and Fickyell in the game as Jabber.
Dangerous pass.
Controls, loses it, controls again, and is going to be out of bounds, and they call a travel violation on the far side. And it will be Villanova ball, so the pressure certainly getting to the Quakers a little bit. 12:53 to play in the half. And the Wildcats up 14-11.
Getting to them a little bit, but Penn's done a decent job getting over half court. When they've attacked when they got over half court, they've gotten good shots. When they've waited, Zoller got trapped, Evie got trapped. That's where the troubles come.
Foy dribbling on the right side on the sideline, throwing the floor for Nardi with Begley in his face. Nardi thinks that he's going to take Begley and leads it off for Frazier on the left block. Looking for Sumpter down the lane. Picked off by Fickyell, who tips it to Danley. And now the Quakers in transition. Begley with it, looking around, and that transition stops as Fickyell has the left side. Open three for Oz. Is off the mark, no good. And Frazier with the rebound. Long outlet pass in transition to Lowry. Goes up, and the shot no good, but a foul. And to the line goes the freshman.
Good basketball plays by both teams right there. Fickyell does a nice job of attacking, throwing it out to Oz in the corner. Oz had a good look, not able to knock it down. Coming back the other way, Frazier makes a fantastic outlet pass. Lowry doesn't look like he's feeling any ill effects from that knee injury. He attacks on the wing, takes it all the way to the basket. Fickyell, unfortunately, had to foul him.
Frazier looks completely winded right now. As Lowry misses the free throw, he is out. Good news for the Quakers. Alan Ray and Marcus Austin come into the game. Nardi takes a seat. And Bria Beattie, the first guard substitution Grand Dunphy's made. 12:18 to go in the half, 14:11. Maybe the byproduct of the catch situation.
No doubt about it.
And we'll reset the lineup as Lowry hits the second. 4-point lead for Villanova. So Beattie Begley and Jabber in the game, and along with Danley and Zoller down low. As
I don't know how that pass got through by Free Abidi.
Somehow Abidi gets it to Jabber. Now it's Begley dribbling in the lane. Jump stop. Kicks it out to Jabber on the left side. Fakes the three on Ray. Nice crossover. Driving to the hole. Leaves it for Zoller. Right baseline jumper. No good. 15 feet. And the weak side rebound to Ray.
I said it at the Temple game, Adam. I'm going to say it here at the Villanova game. If Penn wants to win this, Zoller's going to need to knock down a couple of those 15-footers.
Ray top of the circle. Spinning around on Jabber. That shut off. Jabber trying to get his hand in there.
Jabber, unbelievable, moving his feet, staying in front of his man.
And that's been something, Vince, you know, he's been working on. His footwork, his hand speed there, getting his footwork down. And here's Foy dribbling into the lane. Lowry now for three. Off the mark, no good. Rebound, Danley. Oh, he's foul.
On Danley.
On Danley going for the rebound, and it will be Villanova ball.
It's a good call, but the problem there is I'm not sure Danley needed to foul him. He had inside position. Austin may have gone over him, but I think that's his third foul. No, that's his first foul. I'm sorry.
So, Vince, with 11:32 to play here in the first half at the Lodge, here on New Year's Eve, 15-11, Quakers down by four. They've stuck around with some
decent start for the Penn Quakers. They offensively have been okay. Defensively, you know, Villanova's been attacking and attacking, and Penn has done a fairly good job of staying in front of their man. Villanova's done a little bit better job on the boards, but I think that was to be expected. Penn needs to, as they attack this Villanova pressure, Villanova's not pressuring them hard in the backcourt. They're kind of saying, okay, take your time, get it up, take some time off the clock, and then all of a sudden, before this is said and done, Penn's got to be careful that they don't get that 10-second call, but also when they get it right over half court, they can't wait. Zoller got caught, and Evie got caught. Both times, Villanova sent three guys at him for the trap. The times that they've attacked, got the ball to the baseline, Penn's gotten layups.
By the way, for all these Penn fans out there, as such, you might catch the Villanova fans on break. Maybe the ski lodge would be half full. This place is packed.
It is packed. I don't know
if it's a sellout, but it's pretty close.
I don't know that it's as boisterous as it normally is either. You don't see the fat dude that's painted blue over there that you always see at these Villanova games. And I don't think you have as many students as you normally do. I've been seeing this guy for years. I mean, he is morbidly obese, and the paint job he does is fantastic, and he puts his black wig on, and I don't see him. I don't know if a guy like that ever graduates, so I figured he's going to be on the 8 or 9 year plan.
Aren't we all, Vince? But going back to Mark Zoller, a wide open 12-15 footer on the right baseline, a shot that last year he seemed to hit with regularity. This year hasn't found that range. Last year his shooting percentage, 56% from the field, and it wasn't all layup. But Begley gets a hand on a pass intended for Frazier. Austin goes out of bounds. This year, from the field, only shooting about 45%. So certainly that's, love to see him get into the flow offensively as he's on the court now with Danley down low, Begley, Abidi, and Jabber.
And if you're Penn, you're down 15-11. I don't think Begley scored yet.
Nope.
You got to be pleased.
More than one shot,
you got to be pleased that you're relatively in this game, and Penn's in a zone now. Looks like a 2-3 zone.
And Ray with a three in and out, no good, and it's going to be an over-the-back foul against Danley or Abidi.
Danley.
Didn't have the position, and that's the killer. That's going to be two.
It looked like Abidi had inside position. Danley came over the top. So I think it was a 2-3 zone that Penn was in right there. And now it looks like they're going to go into the 2-3 again as Petnella comes back in for Danley. Let's see if Penn tries to trap Villanova in the corner as this ball goes in.
15 foul on the Quakers.
Here they go. Big trap.
That's
going to be a jump ball.
And Ray manages somehow. Ray gets it somehow as a Foy, and now baseline to the freshman Lowry, the acrobatic scoop in the foul.
Unbelievable shot by Kyle Lowry. In the far corner, Penn traps when the ball came inbound. No doubt in my mind it should have been a jump ball. They throw the skip pass, but I don't know how it gets there, and then skip it back to the same side where it came from. Lowry goes baseline, hangs in the air, and I don't know how he got it up on the glass on the other side of the rim, and then spins it in.
Here goes Lowry at the line. What a move by Lowry. They're the best play we've seen all year. And shot no good, and Petnella let Sumter get the rebound. 17-11.
Frazier created that. He tipped the ball back out, and Sumter was able to pick it up.
Here's Sumter looking to drive on Petnella. And they're going to call an offensive foul on Frazier.
Got to be on Frazier.
Second.
Yeah.
a clear out. That's the second away from the ball foul, and it will be Penn ball.
The official that was right in front of us was looking at that. He let him get away with it two times, three times, and then finally said, all right, this kid, Zoller, is getting the stuffing knocked out of him, so he had to make the call. Now Villanova picks up again. Full court, 1-2-2, zone press. Three picks
long.
Up his dribble.
Begley gets it back to Free. Free barely gets it to Jabber. And Jabber's trapped. Jabber's going to need some help. He kicks it out of bounds off Austin's smart play. Quakers will reset. 22 to shoot. 10:35 to play in the half. 17-11. The Quakers haven't scored in a while.
Again, Penn gets trapped right as the ball comes over half court. They got to get and go when they get that ball over half court.
Going over 6-14 from the field. Here's Abidi in the lane. Kicks it out. Jabber right side.
Got
three
it.
Is good. That's what they need, and they get it. As Jabber hits his first three of the game, and he cuts the lead to three, 17-14 with 10:40 to go in the half.
You could tell as soon as Jabber let that one go, it looked good, good rotation, good follow-through, knocks it down.
Ray spinning in the lane, pretty off the glass and in from 10 feet away on the right side, and it's 19-14. Nova up five, halfway through this first half. Jabber has it, finds Abidi on the left side. Abidi had a seam for a minute on the baseline, and it's quickly sealed. Now Pettinella from Begley, right baseline. Pettinella has to back it out to Begley.
Not a bad play there, right? Pettinella looked like he might have taken somebody to the basket, decides to back it back out.
Lowry on Pettinella, though, in the man-to-man. That's certainly a mismatch in favor of Penn, and Pettinella gets it down low on Lowry, and the double team, the ball stripped, and a foul call. So there they recognize the mismatch, get it to him, and Pettinella has two free throws with 9:40 to play in the half. Only six to shoot, by the way, Vince, and the Quakers trail by five.
I think Pettinella's going to get two shots here, though. Okay, there was six to shoot. Your point is perfect, though, Adam. Penn does a great job of recognizing. We had said in games that we've done in the past, they've had those mismatches and not done as good a job of finding out where that big man is and getting him to the block with the smaller man on him.
Good on the purse, by the way. Give Ryan some credit.
This is big because if he's going to want to increase his minutes and play more and more, the guy's going to get fouled. He's got to step up there and make them. He's been terrific in the first, 3 of 5 is not terrific, but he's been good enough in the first half to leave him out there.
More than he's had all year at the line. Coming in 2-9, he drains both, and it's 19-16 Villanova as Ryan Pettinella coming off the bench with 5 points.
He's the one Penn front court player that's going to be able to get his shot off inside in traffic like that on a consistent basis.
Making 6 points, of course, at 4-6 at the line. As here's Foy, top of the circle, dribbling in the lane. Turnaround jumper over Osmondson is good from 12 feet away. Osmondson in, by the way, Begley out as Lowry checks out of the game as well for Villanova. And now Zoller, trapped, gets it to Oz. Oz driving the lane, kicks it out, Jabber right side. Jabber into the lane. Jabber up with the right, and they're going to call an offensive foul on E.B. Jabber.
That's a terrible call. I mean, he's out of control, but the reason he goes into with Sheridan is because I believe it was Foy has him by the back arm. So Foy created the opportunity right there. Not a great play by Jabber going to the basket, but at the same time, the guy reaches in.
5-point lead for Villanova, 9 minutes to play in the half. Mike Nardi with the ball. Nardi.
Thank you.
To Sumter, who travels top of the circle. Vince agrees with the call.
I get a little caught up in the emotion of these games sometime, Adam, but there's no... They weren't going to call it on the first four steps. When the fifth step was finally taken, they had to call. Now Begley back into the game. He's going to be important, especially against this press.
He was halfway back to the Palestra. Here is Osmondson over the line to Pettinella, the right sideline, throwing the floor back to Oz. Oz to Jabber, left side behind the arc, on the wing. Pettinella, nice ball pass to Zoller, moving to home. 21-18, Villanova, 8:30 to go in the half.
Great pass, high-low. Again, Penn recognizes when they have the smaller man on one of their front court players, and Pettinella does a great job of squeezing it in there.
Foy with it. Isolation, three is in and out, no good. Pettinella rips down the board.
Brian Pettinella's coming out party right here. He's playing a terrific game today.
Here's Oz on the skip pass right to left. Oz baseline in the air to Jabber. Outlets it up to the center of the floor. 8 minutes to go in the half. Penn playing very well considering the layoff, but Jabber looking for Zoller, and a bounce pass out of bounds. Zoller doesn't come out for it.
That is not Zoller's fault. Adam, I've said it to you 50 times over the course of these games that we've done, there was no angle. You can't feed the post with a defensive player on the high side straight in from the top of the key.
And that'll get Jabber a conversation with Coach Dunphy on the bench. His first reps of the game, it's Afeedy and Osmunson and Begley.
Three dribbles right there, and he's got Zoller on Nardi in the low block.
Sumpter walks with it in the lane. Wanted to push, not going to get it, and Sumpter with his second straight travel. 21-18 Villanova, 7:52 to play in the half. Vince, this has been a very well-played game for the most part. Both teams making plays. Villanova doing a nice job of getting over the Penn defenders to shoot, get their shots, hitting some big buckets. Frazier, of course, got some good position down low, but on the Penn end, really, Ryan Pettinella, you almost cannot afford to play him through the athleticism he's showing the first half of this game.
Well, it's been a relatively well-played game, Adam. It's been relatively entertaining as well. Penn, it's kind of been two heavyweight fighters going back at it. Villanova says, look, I'm the puncher, and I'm going to keep jacking up these big blows. But Penn's been the boxer. They keep taking, okay, well, we're going to execute our offense. They're running their press break offense brilliantly. Saved three or four times when they've gotten caught getting the ball just over half court. That last time, Oz does a nice job of dribbling up, and he hits Pettinella, who's at the elbow extended, not just over half court. So when that happens, everything seems to flow well for Penn offensively. As far as Villanova goes, they're just continuing to attack. They're trying to dictate the tempo of the game, number one, with the press, but also offensively, they're just putting shots in the air and saying, you know what, if we miss, we're going to go get them.
Well, Villanova, look, they have the depth. They have the athleticism. The Villanova team leads the series on 10, 34-17, but the Quakers have won two of the last three, despite dropping last year's game, 73-63. At the Palestra. We haven't been here, Vince, since 99. And we're looking for our first win here at the Pavilion. But as for Villanova, we'll talk a little bit about their schedule later on. Five straight home games, they don't leave the city. They're 6-1, their RPI is low. In fact, it's hovering around 10s in the hundreds, in the low hundreds. Just not a... Gearing up for Big East play, you know Jay Wright really wants to get back to that tournament. Did not load up the non-conference schedule, although Kansas comes to Philly to play next month. As the Quakers inbound the basketball, the Quakers break the trap. Abidi has Oz on the left side. Oz is going to spot up for a long deuce. It rolls off the rim, no good, and the rebound Sumpter.
You know what, though? Not a bad shot. Quick, but it was a 3-on-2 break. Oz spots up in the corner, just not able to knock it down.
Nardi top of the circle. Right side behind the arc for Sumpter with Zoller on him. Zoller and Pettinella down low. Danley's got two personal fouls. He's on the bench.
Sumpter been relatively quiet to this point. You keep hearing about Mr. Double-Double, and he hasn't done a ton.
2 points. Now he takes a three, and he drains it.
That's a two.
Foot on the line.
Foot on the line, and I just had to tempt the face right
and
there.
And here's Quakers in transition. Pettinella, they all count it. But they call a foul on the floor, and don't get to Patrick Ewing continuation.
You know what, though, Adam? That gets counted if Villanova's going the other direction. Yeah, it's a great play by Pettinella. Fantastic finish, and now they're going to put him on the line for a one-on-one. See, this is the front end. It's as good as turning the ball over, going out of bounds. Pettinella has to step up here and make them pay.
23-18. Quakers down 5, 7-12 in the half. Pettinella misses it badly, but Abidi
coming up with it.
And Abidi's trapped, dribbles out of it, finds Oz, top of the circle, takes the dribble into the lane. Zoller for three, off the mark. Pettinella cleans it up. It's partially blocked, and the ball is going to be out of bounds off of Villanova. It will stay with Penn off of the hands of Randy Foy.
Two things I love right there. Free Abidi hustling like crazy to get that offensive rebound as Jabber comes back in for Abidi. And then Pettinella going up in traffic. He didn't make the dunk, but he said, I'm going to dunk this.
He is playing
a man
like
possessed right now.
He has something to prove. Top of the circle, Pettinella to Begley to Zoller from 17. Wow, that is ugly. Off the mark, barely catches the rim into the hands of Ray.
Last two shots by Zoller missed by about a combined 8 feet. That's
and
a charge.
That
great
is
call.
A charge.
Great call by Bobby Donato on the baseline. Pettinella steps in for the charge.
As Foy will pick it up, and the Quakers will get it. 23-18, and down 5 with 6:42 to play here in the first half. And Quakers hanging in. Mark Zoller, though, can't be afford to miss those 17-footers.
You know what? He steps up with confidence and takes them. He just needs to come a little closer than he has. is to give his teammates a chance that if he's going to miss. First one was an air ball that missed by 5 feet, and the second one barely drew iron. So we've talked about it. He's going to need to make that shot. Fortunately, he's confident enough to take it. And then pressed by Villanova again.
As Jabber has it right side on the sideline. Ray played some good defense on him. Wanted a foul call and charge. Pettinella caught in the air, throws it away, and they're going to call a reach in on Begley on Foy, and they're not going to call the intentional, but it will be a 1-1 coming up for Villanova.
Good foul by Begley. Didn't want to give them the easy basket. Didn't want to give this fan base a chance to get going.
Begley's first.
Pettinella just made a mistake right there. He got kind of caught in the air, threw it out towards the basket. I guess you don't want to say get caught. If you get caught in the air, where do you throw it? I mean, in that case, don't get caught in the air, but certainly don't throw it towards half court where a guy's got a chance to get a breakaway.
Mark Zoller's going to check out, and here's Brent Dunphy leaving Pettinella in.
Giving him a chance to make some mistakes. He's been the offense for Penn in the first half. He's been terrific defensively, and he's rebounded.
Do you almost have to live with a mistake every now and then if he sees more playing time?
Absolutely.
I mean, what he's giving you on the offensive end, 1-3 from the field. He's 4-7 at the line as Foy makes the free throw and extends his lead to 6, 24-18.
Frazier clobbered Pettinella coming into the lane, and the officials are talking to him about it right now. Said, hey, clean it up or you're going to get number 3.
Yep. That's exactly what they're saying. Foy will have another. And that's no good. Short. Begley the rebound, and Frazier nicely ran about 30 steps back.
And the rebound came right where he vacated, so Penn got a little bit of a break there.
Picciel is back in, down low with Pettinella. Begley loses it, but they're going to call
hold
on Foy, and it'll be a 1-1 for Begley, who's looking for his first point of this game.
Dangerous pass that time by Jan Picciel. He had the ball at the wing. Tim Begley was at the elbow. Tim Begley was the opposite side wing who cut back door. Looked like Foy got a hold of him. I'm not even sure that if Foy didn't hold him, that Begley was going to be able to do anything with it.
Like two shots here for Begley.
That's their 10th?
That's their 10th. A little glare on the scoreboard, but that is their 10th. So Begley can relax a little bit, get a breather. A big free throws here for Penn. Begley got it.
A little home team roll. That one bounced about 4 feet in the air. Hit all sides of the rim.
Need to make use for those hits, don't you?
Absolutely, Adam. Absolutely.
One more for Beggs. Jabber and Oz in the backcourt with him as Begley gets his first 2 points of the game. And the lead is 4 for Villanova. 6:17 to play in what has been an entertaining first half.
You look at the scoreboard, you think 24-20, how entertaining could it have been? But, you know, the teams have been getting after it. There have been good plays. There have been good defense. Good offense being run. Relatively crisply played game.
Alan Ray, left side, thinks about the 3 over Begley. Now a little crossover and walk.
Bobby
too bad because he hits the 3, Vince.
Bobby Donato had enough of Alan Ray jawing at him. Alan Ray was complaining about the...
Quakers beat the press, by the way. So Picciel thinks about the 15-footer. Gives it up, though, to Oz. Oz drives the lane.
Ooh,
he picks up his foot. So Begley on the baseline. Back to Oz. The Jabber on the right baseline with Austin in his face. He has to back it out. Now he's going to take it underneath the basket. Backs it out. 15 to shoot for Penn. 5:40 to play in the half. Wants a high screen. Picciel sets it. Picciel now goes back, and Jabber hoists up a 3. No good, and here comes a transition opportunity for Villanova. Ray has it, but the Quaker defense gets back.
Good job by Begley and Jabber right there, stopping Ray as he got that long rebound and was looking to run.
5:20 to go in the half. 24-20, Villanova. Here's Nardi. Left side for Ray. Lofting it down low to Frazier, who's double-teamed, but Pettinella's got him from behind. Ray has it back. Nice move on Oz. Leaves it for Frazier. Frazier knocks down Picciel. Arms all over the place. Shot no good. Austin cleans it up, though, on the right side and lays it home. 26-20, Villanova with 5 minutes to play. And the Quakers beat the pressure again and set up the half-court offense.
26-20, decent job by Villanova. They just kept coming and kept coming. Frazier may have gotten fouled on that. Austin does a nice job cleaning it up.
Begley stripped in the lane. Foul called to the line. Tim Begley.
And Villanova fans wonder why everybody hates him. It was a good call. It was a good call. I got some guy over here. You're crazy. This guy over here is telling me it was all ball, too. No way.
You're
I'm getting a fight with everybody here.
Vince will be ejected at the half. And Begley misses the free throw.
Got to make that. Got to step up there.
4:48 to play. By the way, the Quakers, 6-10 at the line.
I will say this. The Villanova band seemed to have embraced the Evil Empire. They were playing the Empire Strikes Back Imperial Death March earlier.
Begley goes 0-2 at the line. The rebound to Nova. Just I think Begley's getting tired out there.
I think he is a little winded.
He needs to come out, and Abidi thinks something, senses it. Abidi ready to check in.
He's not going to be out long, and he's going to get a TV timeout, so look for Begley to get maybe a minute or so on the bench.
Austin with it. Splits two defenders. Kicks it out on the baseline to Lowry, who lays it home. Boy, Lowry athletic.
Lowry is a good player.
He is athletic. 8-point lead for Villanova. Jabber now. Kicking it out to Begley on the left side. Left wing extended, and Begley brings it to the top of the arc. High screen set by Pettinella. Begley double team. Good job out of Pettinella. Finding Jabber underneath. The reverse layup is good by E.B. Jabber. He wanted the foul call. Big bucket, by the way, for the Quakers, Vince. Under four to go in the half. 28-22. Nova.
Huge bucket by the Quakers there, because all of a sudden Villanova puts on a 6-0 spurt, and it's a 15-point game. This one's over.
Nardi down the lane. Leaves it for Austin. Austin foul going up. Shot no good. Jan Fickiel picks up the second.
Good call. Good call. Fickiel late recovering. Pettinella does a nice job of getting over and not giving Villanova a chance at the three-point play. He blocks the shot right there.
Tied it on the floor with 3:48 to go, then. 28-22. Villanova. Austin will go to the line for two after the timeout. A 64% free throw shooter.
And this timeout can't come at a better time for Penn. I think they were getting a little winded out there. A little sloppy. Villanova starting to dictate a little bit. Penn kept punching and kept punching. Seemed to be doing a good job of just trying to hang on to get to that timeout. Now all of a sudden, you get a little bit of a blow. Villanova's on the line shooting two. If you're Penn, if you're dumping that hose, you got, hey, 4 minutes. Give me 4 minutes to finish this half. We finish this half strong, we're going to be in it the whole way.
Quaker shoots 37% from the field. 40% from three, but that 40%, Vince, it only takes 5 shots. So that's certainly not necessarily in their game, but they're doing a great job getting to the line. 6 of 11 at the line. Pettinella is bearing that burden, most of it anyway. 4 of 7 with 6 points. Jabber with 7 on the other side. Nova shooting 52% from the field and only 28% from behind the arc. So inside the arc, 9 of 14.
The fact that Penn's only taking 5 three-pointers is a function of the way Villanova's playing defense. They're pressing up, and as Penn gets over, you have got two options. One, you pull up and shoot the three in a one-on-three situation, or two, you attack the basket. Villanova's pressuring that three-point line. They're pressuring out. They're making Penn beat them from the interior. So far, Penn's had some good success doing it. They're down 6 right now, but at the same time, that is the way Villanova is dictating. Hey, Penn, you're not going to shoot threes tonight. We're going to make you beat us in a way that's outside of your game. So far, it's worked for Villanova, but Penn has done a good job of adjusting. And by the way, Pettinella, I don't think you mentioned that assist that he just had down there to Jabber was fantastic. Begley gets trapped, then Pettinella gets trapped by two guards and finds Jabber, who does a terrific job of finishing. So three good things had to happen right there. The difference is, Villanova needs one or two things to happen. Penn needs 4 or 5 things to go right for them to be able to get a basket.
Austin steps to the line following the timeout, looking to extend the 28-22 lead, and does. 29-22, 3:48 to go in the half. Quakers pop back onto the floor with Pettinella and Zoller down low, Abidi, Begley, and Jabber. As for Villanova, Frazier, Austin, as Austin makes both free throws, and Sumter, Nardi, and the freshman, Lowry, who's been terrific thus far in his first game this season, coming off of knee surgery in October on a torn ACL, a miraculous story that this guy is able to play.
Villanova didn't press that time.
Well, they have an 8-point lead now.
Now, so the 7-footer guarding our point guard 30 feet from the basket. Frazier moving pretty well.
Jabber out to Pettinella behind the arc. He finds Abidi in the lane. Goes up, but a
good
traveling violation as he tried to draw the contact with Sumter but picked up his pivot foot. 3:28 to go in the half, 30-22 Quakers.
It's a shame because Penn ran the offense fairly well. They got their backside player, Abidi, ducking in there, who was able to do a reverse pivot on Sumter. If he just held on just a little bit longer, he was going to get to the line.
Ray, behind the arc on the right side, bounce pass into the box to Frazier, double team, may have walked, trying to split the defender, kicks it out to Nardi. Nardi to the hole. Nardi blocked by Pettinella, out of bounds. Villanova ball with 3:08 to go in the half, but an 8-point Villanova lead.
Penn's not going to let Frazier, they're not going to let Sumter beat him on the low block. Every time one of those two players gets it there, Dump runs another player at him, and they're doubling. He started that a couple years ago against Ricky Wright. It's been a common theme. Whenever there's been a decent low post player, they're getting double. He's not going to let them beat him.
Frazier out. Ray in. He has the ball. Looking for Nardi. Catch and shoot three right side off the mark. Rebound. Sumter over Zoller to get it. Split to the fence. And a foul called on Penn.
It's over the back in every league except this one. Zoller had great position. Sumter just did a better job of going up a little bit higher and taking it away. Comes in over the top. You're not going to get that call here on the road. Zoller just needs to back him out a little bit further and go get that basketball.
Two shots for Sumter, who is an outstanding 85% free throw shooter. Sumter today, obviously, his point production down. An average of 18 points a game. His teammates have picked him up, but drains the free throw. And Villanova doing a good job hitting his free throws in the last couple minutes. 31-22, they lead by a game-high nine. Sumter drains the second.
Penn, you almost want Villanova to make his free throws because it seems like every time that the free throw comes off long, Villanova's getting the rebound.
Villanova backs off the pressure. Begley at the point for Penn, finds Zoller in the lane, catch and pass out to Jabber behind the arc. Jabber looking for Zoller, throws it out of bounds. Villanova ball.
That time you had the angle, but Zoller didn't have position. And we talked about this a little in the open. We got Tim Begley playing the point on that last possession right there. Might be a factor, something happens with catch going out. A reach.
Ray, right side behind the arc. Nice little move into the lane. Fadeaway Jay, short no good. Ball tipped to Abidi. Lakers down 10 with 2:20 to play in the half. Here's Begley with it. Begley in the lane, finds Jabber, wide open, three, good, on the left side, so Jabber makes the men, and the lead cuts to seven with 2:15 to play in the half.
Another great job by Penn, attacking off the press. You got to make Villanova, if they're going to press you, you got to make them pay. Begley does a nice job with the dribble drive. Jabber almost picking Nardi again at the top of the key.
Unbelievable, Jabber so quick with the hands, two quick guards.
He's been a boxer with those hands.
Ray goes to his knee, and they're going to call a foul on Penn away from the basket. Is it Abidi or Pennella?
Pennella.
That's a tough one. That's his third, and he's going to have to come out. Who is he coming out for?
He put Danley in, and Danley could pick up his third. You almost have to leave him in there for the rebound.
That was a two-shot foul for Ray. Alan Ray shoots a crisp 80% at the line. Looking to extend his lead back up to 9. Minute 55 to play in the first half. 7-point lead. Makes it as Osmussen comes in, and he will replace Pettinella.
Penn going really small right now. Pettinella goes out. Zoller really the only front court player out there. You've got three Abidis going to need to keep Austin off the free throw here. Decided advantage for Villanova in size right now.
Well, they got Sumter and Austin down low. Ray Nardi and the freshman Lowry in the backcourt. So Villanova not taking advantage necessarily of that size advantage with the three-guard offense, but timeout called by Villanova with 1:55 to go. The free throw was good, so the Wildcats lead 34-25.
Villanova takes the old use-it-or-lose-it timeout. I think Jay Wright recognized that Penn was going to go small there, and he wants to get his guys together and say, look, here's where our advantage is right now. We've got size. We can go to the basket. Let's press up on them. Let's make them take shots because they're only getting one shot on one end, and on the other end, we're going to get a couple of shots because we're just too big right now.
Final score for Princeton. Sorry, Ben.
Hey.
75-62, Tigers. Got to report it. Penn fans, you know, Penn fans have to listen to Princeton picked up their seventh win of the season, Vince, which is still not good enough for first place in the Ivy League right now. One half game behind the Columbia Lions, who made a little noise this week, taking NC State deep into the game, making it close, and NC State again whitewashed the next night.
As I said, that taking NC State deep into the game looked impressive until NC State went out and got shellacked by St. John's.
It's still Columbia, though. Let's not forget, as the Quakers inbound the ball right to left, here is Osmussen. So Columbia at 7-3. Their best start since 79. Zoller, left baseline, going to the hole, blocked by Austin, picked up by Sumter, and here's Lowry looking to run with it, finds Sumter, driving, picks up 12 feet away, back to Nardi. 1:30 to go in the half, 9-point lead for Villanova.
You can see Zoller not as confident shooting that 12-footer.
And here's a three off the mark by Villanova into the hands of Abeedy as Allen Ray went for it. Villanova now only 2-9 from three. Abeedy right side for Oz. Now Begley left side in the corner for Jabber. Dribbling to the hole. Ball tipped out of bounds by Foy. It'll be 10 ball.
To finish that thought, Zoller not confident in that 12-footer. Ends up taking it to the basket against the taller Austin, who blocks it and sends it the other way. Zoller needs to make that 12-footer to be effective against bigger players.
Inbound pass, Abeedy gets it, drives the lane, leaves it on the right block for Zoller. Uncomfortable, but the reverse layup is no good. Boy, Mark Zoller just cannot get the ball to go in. Rebound to Sumter.
He's struggling right now, no doubt about it, Adam.
59 seconds to go here, under a minute, 9-point lead. And these are big buckets for Mark Zoller. Keep Penn in the game. Only down by 9. And now it's Austin throwing Abeedy down and laying it home. That is definitely no match for Abeedy. As Marcus Austin checking in 6-10. Fred Dunfield takes the timeout with 41.4 to go and an 11-point lead for Villanova.
I guarantee you that's what Jay Wright told his troops, though. When he brought them in during that use-it-or-lose-it timeout, he said, you know what? We're bigger. We're stronger. Let's identify the mismatch. Let's get it on the low block. That time they did it with Sumter or Austin that made that last pass.
That was Austin.
That was Austin on the low block on Abeedy. Abeedy didn't have a chance. Tried to draw the foul.
So another tough test for the Quaker big man against Athletic. Unlike Temple's big men, who really were big. Not necessarily as athletic as these big men who can fly all over the court. Today, Danley minimal time with two fouls. He has no points. Picciel, 1-2 from the field, 2 points, hasn't played much. Zoller, he's been the guy to take the shots, Vince. He's only 1-6 lately in this half with 2 points. And Pentnella, the best of the lot, 6-4-7 at the line.
Temple's big men were big, but they didn't threaten you. Villanova's big men are big, athletic, and they do threaten you on the offensive end.
11-point lead for Villanova as the Quakers have the basketball. Oz is on top of the circle, dribbling around, backs it out. 7-second differential between the game and the shot as Picciel gets it in the left block. Nothing there. Out to Oz. He pump fakes the three. Picciel now left baseline. Skip pass right side to Jabber. 9 to shoot for Penn. To Picciel. Pump fakes the three. 4 to shoot. Now Oz, a leaner from 12. No good. Hit by Pentnella. No good. Pentnella got it again. Goes off. That's blocked by Austin. And they're going to call a traveling violation on Lowry with 2.5 seconds to go in the half. He bumped into his own player and took steps. So the Quakers will get one last shot with 2.5 to go in the first half. They'll take it out far side on the sideline, not underneath the basket. So we'll see what they can get as Begley will inbound the
watch
ball.
It coming right back to him.
The Jabber in the corner for three.
He got it. Boom!
Well, he got it off, but he missed it, Vince.
Sorry, Adam. I get a little caught up
it's
in the moment. I thought he had it. I thought he had it, Adam. It looked good. Penn ran a great play to get him open in the corner. Jabber up fakes. The Villanova player, I think it was Nardi, goes flying by. And a great look. It looked like the one that he made earlier. I thought it was down.
Quakers go into the locker room down by 11. They were hanging around for a while, but Villanova just too much towards the end of that first half. And Mark Zoller unable to hit some shots to keep this game close. So, I mean, nothing you could do about it. Just didn't have the touch. Either inside or out, but look for him to get it, hopefully, in the second half commence.
Their shots that Zoller is going to have to make. He's going to continue to get them. And that the last one that he takes to the basket is kind of tough because he's going against the bigger player. That 12-footer, that 15-footer that he shot so well in previous games and last year, he's going to need to find the range on that. Villanova, to their credit, has continued to attack. They've identified the areas where they're stronger than Penn, and there's no doubt about it that Villanova is dictating the way that this game is being played right now, at least from a physical standpoint and a pace standpoint. Penn's doing a great job of running their offense, a great job of getting decent looks, and a pretty good job of handling that pressure. Villanova is really trying to get after Penn, but at the same time, Penn said, okay, get after us all you want. 8 turnovers in the first half for Penn, probably a little high, but in a game like this, you know, that's
the pace of the game.
Yeah, it's one of those things.
A couple offensive fouls also. You know, kind of a strange game for Penn, but Quakers 3-7 from the outside, which for them, for anyone, certainly 43%, pretty good, but only 5 of 18 inside the arc, and that's obviously a credit to what Villanova can do down there.
Villanova has decided that Penn's not going to beat us from the outside, and to their credit, Penn only has seven shots. They say, yeah, you know, it's seven. That's kind of a good number in the first half. You could have 15. They haven't let Begley get one off. Begley, to his credit, has not forced one. But Penn needs to go into that locker room and say, what do we got to do to get our best player some shots? At this point, Begley's 0 for 1, and he's got two free throws. I mean, Penn's not going to win this game if Tim Begley doesn't get it going in the second half.
Well, before the game, Vince, I had a chance to catch up with Villanova coach Jay Wright, and defensively, Villanova doing an excellent job, and that's one of the many topics we discussed prior to the contest.
Coach Wright, five-game winning streak, so you must be pleased with the way things are progressing, and good win over Middle Tennessee State.
I am, Adam. I like the way we are progressing is a good word, because we're getting better each night, and that's what makes you happy as a coach. And we started off playing good defense. Our offense is starting to come around, and now we have to play consistently each night, and we're going to need that against the Quakers.
What are you guys doing defensively? It seems like that's a big difference. Last year, you guys, towards the bottom of the pack in the Big East. This year, you guys really shutting people down. What's been the difference?
I think, really, we've had this group together where we've been able to really work in the preseason. And Esther, I think our preseason, having everybody suspended and not being able to really work on fundamentals, hurt us, and we caught up late in the year. I think the maturity of our players, I think college players understand later in their career that defense is important. So we've got to keep that going, though, you know, and it's something that can slip at any time.
Well, speaking of defense, last year you guys did do a phenomenal job on Jeff Schiffner. I know you guys were concerned with from the outside. This year you got a guy in Tim Begley who can also burn you from the outside. Are we going to see a similar game plan from you guys defensively to try to shut down Penn's leading scorer?
Well, I do think Begley is the type of player like Schiffner can take over a game. And we've got to, I think, be a little bit more concerned this year about their inside people. I just think those guys have really developed, and they can score. And Munson's capable of scoring and is a very good scorer. So we got to take care of everybody. And Evie can put on the floor and drive it. So you got a lot of weapons there.
Coach, thanks very much. Good luck tonight and Happy New Year. Good luck down the road.
Thank you, Adam. Happy New Year to you, buddy.
All right, that was Villanova head coach Jay Wright as the Penn halftime show rolls on from the pavilion. 36-25, Quakers down by 11 in what was, for the most part, an entertaining first half, although certainly for Penn fans at the end, it wasn't, as Villanova wound up pulling away a little bit, but stuff was good. It wasn't the type of game where we've seen Penn lately off of these 20-game layoffs in, where they look totally out of sorts. They don't play well or run anything well on either end. This time, though, they actually play pretty well for what we've seen this season, just unable to hit some shots, and to that Villanova's credit.
Didn't you tell Jay we needed a little bit of break at halftime? He couldn't have given you more than a minute and a half there? I mean, come on, Jay. We didn't even get a chance to come up for air here.
No, we're going to get into the whole RPI, non-conference schedule thing, but...
Your point earlier, Adam, is well made. I think that Penn has played better than you would expect coming off of that long a layoff. That's a testament to the coaches. They're going to have these guys prepared. That's a testament to guys like Tim Begley, who has been around it long enough and is a leader of this team. He may not be putting up numbers tonight or this afternoon so far, but you have experience in a program. You have guys that have been around a while. You have some continuity. That shouldn't hurt you as much. If this team were eight freshmen and two sophomores and no seniors, you have a little bit more to worry about. But it's a younger team, but you still have some veteran leadership, and that's what's going to get you through it this time of year.
One of those other veterans this would be Eric Osmondson, who this year has seen, obviously, an increased role, named a starter. Oz tonight, 1 of 5, but his only bucket, a three-pointer. He's had 3 points along with 2 assists, but no turnovers in 16 minutes in the first half. Oz coming off a huge game, though, against Villanova, where he goes 6 of 8 for 3, nearly single-handedly able to pull that game out. Eric Osmondson's done a nice job, and before the game, fortunately a little bit longer than the Jay Wright interview, Vince, but before the game, our Brian Seltzer had a chance to sit down and catch up with the Carlsbad, California native.
So So it's been a while since you guys have been out on the court. For the last time out for you personally, a pretty big game. You took off against Temple, a career high in points, also 3-point field goals made. What enabled you to have so much success on the floor against the Owls?
I just think that Bagley coming off that performance he had against the South, I think that really, they started keying out on him and sort of forgot about me. And you know, I've always been confident in my shot and confident in my abilities how to play basketball, and I knew, you know, it was my time to step up, so I took the opportunity and made the most of it. But unfortunately, you know, we didn't get to win that game, but I think we learned a lot from it as far as, you know, defensive-wise. You know, we could have played so much better defensively and getting key stops in the end. So, you know, we're just really looking forward to this game, and our confidence is high right now. And, you know, it's a Big Five game, and, you know, you got to get up for that because, you know, Big Five, it's going to be tough every game no matter who you play. So,
and going back, one of the things that you mentioned at the beginning of the season is that you didn't see yourself as a primary scorer on this team. You said your priority was to set up plays, not necessarily finish them off. But given the last performance against Temple, has your view on that changed at all?
No, I think I still need to be a leader out there and set up the offense and run the team. But, you know, I got to look for my opportunities to score, and, you know, I got to help this team out in any way I can. Like I said before, you know, if it's scoring, making three-pointers and making shots, then I'll do that. Or if it's, you know, getting the fifth and playing solid D, whatever it takes to win, I'm going to do it. So.
Now, going back to that loss against Temple 23 days ago for the Quakers, but again, it was a really close contest, tied 11 times throughout that game, and then to see it come down to the way it did on the foul shot by Marty Collins. How did the Red and Blue react to that defeat initially right after it?
It was real tough, you know. Like I said, we put our heart and soul into the game, and, you know, it's a Big Five game, and, you know, we had a chance to go up 2-0, and you know, that's big in the city series, to go up 2-0, you know, and you have a chance to win the Big Five. But, you know, we're still looking forward to this game. You know, we can't look past it, and, you know, we still feel that we're a strong team in this city, and, you know, we just got to keep plugging away.
And you mentioned that the Quakers' confidence is high going into today's contest. What's enabled you guys to pretty much, I guess, put that out of your mind over the last couple of days and then get back into the swing of things and get ready for now the 2005 portion of the schedule?
I think, you know, you have to put those games away, but you got to learn from them firsthand. You know, it was tough. You know, a lot of us haven't been in games like that before. And so we just had to, you know, realize what we're up against, and, you know, just put it away and focus on Villanova. So we're optimistic about our chances, and, you know, we just got to go out there and battle and play tough.
With 10-point guard on Brian Seltzer, and Eric, looking ahead again to the break, a long time to be off. How much basketball did the team play throughout that 23-day layoff?
We continue to play a lot, and, you know, we it's tough because, you know, any layoff like that, you know, it's sort of like preseason again. But like I said, we're eager to get out there. We're optimistic about our chances, and, you know, we're just going to go out there and play tough. So.
The Wildcats come into today's contest riding on a lot of momentum, 5 straight wins for them. What type of approach do you go and take against a team that is coming off a pretty hot streak?
We just got to be, you know, understand their players a lot. I mean, they're a team that gets up and plays tough D on you. They're going to lick the trap, and, you know, we got to handle their pressure like we would in any other game, and, you know, try to get into our offense and find some shots and get back and play tough D ourselves. So, you know, it's going to be a battle. We're not looking forward. I mean, we're looking forward to a tough game, and, you know, we want to pull this one out and go 2-1 in the Big Five.
And one of the matchups that may prove to be meaningful in this game is the perimeter play of Penn on the offensive side of the ball. Villanova coming in with some high accolades on the defensive side on the exterior. Is there anything that you've noticed from what you've seen that you think the Quakers will be able to exploit and connect from the outside?
Like I said, I think that if we can break their pressure, I think we'll be able to, it'll be, our transition will allow us to get easy shots. I mean, once you break a press, it's tough for the defense to catch up, and you get on 2-on-1, 3-on-1, 3-on-2 fast breaks, and, you know, we'll be able to key on some shots and hopefully knock them down.
And Villanova off to an auspicious start this year. Based on what you've noticed and what you've studied, what makes this team different from the teams that you faced out of Villanova in the past when you were here last year?
I think, you know, Sumter, he's playing unbelievable right now. I mean, he can go inside and battle inside, and he can step out and hit the three. So that's going to be a tough matchup for us. And I think all their guards, you know, their whole team's played with each other for 3 years now, and, you know, they know each other. And I think they're, you know, they're a confident group of guys. And, you know, like I said, they got a 5-game winning streak, I think, and, you know, they're looking to add on to it. But, you know, we're going to be there. We're going to play hard, play tough, and we want this win, if not more.
Ben, starting point guard Eric Osmond, thanks a lot for your time. Happy New Year.
You too. Thanks a lot.
All right, Brian, thanks very much. That was Brian Seltzer, who we'll be having in the second half. We can promote some interviews, among which Dave Montgomery's in the house. Took a little pills as pitchers and catchers.
About 6 weeks away. Brian has an unbelievable talent for finding people in these large crowds that are at least interesting enough to interview. I mean, he could just pick like some security guard. He seems to find people that have some kind of connection or something to say. It's a credit to how hard he works at it.
Dave Montgomery also is an ardent Quaker supporter as well, and he is here with Rendell, Ed Rendell as well. Here at the Lodge on New Year's Eve, my old acquaintance, Vince Curran, sitting next to me, lest we not forget Vince, with 10 down by 11. Quakers, second half, we went to some stats jabber with 10-4-7 shooting. Quakers also keyed by Petnella, 6 points. On 4-7 at the line, Pennell also leads the team in rebounding with 4, and tied for the lead in assists with 2, and in the lead on the team in fouls as well. A very active Ryan Pennella. Unfortunately for him, the 3 personal fouls, and that might be a factor for Villanova. Last year, there was anything but balanced scoring between these two, between the two teams, especially in Villanova. You had 4 players, Sumter, Foy, Nardi, and Ray, scored 67 of the 73 Villanova points last year. This year, it's almost the exact opposite. 4 guys with 6 points, that's Foy, Frazier, Sumter, and Austin. 3 of those 4 off the bench. Larry with 5, Nardi with 3, and Alan Ray with 4 as well. Sorry, Sumter, of course, with 6, did make the start. Villanova shooting 48% from the field, but only 22% from 2. Quakers being out-rebounded 21-14 on the glass, and turnovers 9-8 in favor, actually, of Villanova. Points in the paint, 18-10, Wildcats, the Quakers.
And we said going into this, Adam, Villanova has been their MO this year. Play good defense, attack you once you get over half court, and their scoring has been more balanced. Whereas last year, Jay Wright was saying, we had 28, one guy with 28, one guy with 6. This year we get 2 guys or 3 guys with 16, 17. That gives you a little bit, it diversifies your risk. So now all of a sudden, whereas last year if Sumter goes out and he stinks the place up, where are they going to go? This year you're getting consistent contribution. And Lowry looks like he's going to be a player. He's going
he's
going to help them.
He's going to be tremendous. Now, for the Quakers, Vince, what adjustments can they make here in the second half to kind of get back into this game and not let Villanova dictate the tempo as they did in the last 4 or 5 minutes of that half?
It's tough because at this point you really need to keep attacking, but I don't know whether there's enough gas in the tank to keep attacking. If you keep attacking and keep going at them, eventually guys are going to be spent. Beckley looked like he was about to fall over out there at one point. He's expended so much energy. So, and I don't know who on the bench can come and give Penn more minutes. It's going to be a fine line needs to be walked. You need to get out and get a quick jump early. Then you got to start dictating some pace. You got to take the air out of the ball a little bit. You got to shorten this game up, but you can't do that if you're down 11.
Quakers in the away reds, the new red uniforms, actually. Not the dark, but the light reds. Pen in black letters across the front in blue with white trim. Numbers in blue front and back with white trim. Blue and white trim up and down the side. Villanova in the home whites with names in blue on the backs of the uniforms, numbers in light blue and navy blue, front and back, and Villanova, of course, in navy blue written across the front. Here at the Pavilion, 36-25, your halftime score. Villanova on top. The Quakers gun for their 5th win of the season and their 2nd Big 5 win of the season. Both teams 1-1 in the Big 5. Both teams losing to Temple by 1 earlier in the season. So Nardi, Foy, Ray, Sumter, and Sheridan out on the floor, and the Quakers starting 5, Danley, who has almost nothing in his line except a rebound and 2 fouls, down low with Vickiel, Jabber, Begley, and Oz round out the pen, starting 5, and Oz controls for the Quakers, Foy on him in the man-to-man, top of the circle for Danley, Sheridan on Danley, gives it to Jabber, finds Vickiel, pump fakes the jumper, now gets it down low to Danley, Danley working on Sumter, back out to Begley on the perimeter.
Danley had something there. He should have gone to the basket. He kicked it back out.
Going now, and he's fouled. 2 shots coming up. Let's see who they get on the foul, Vince. But that will be on Sheridan, and that's his 4th. So Jason Frazier in the game.
I'm not sure whether we wanted that foul to be called on Sheridan. Anyway, that brings Frazier off the bench. You could almost see the first time Danley got the ball down there, he was a little tentative. Ten big men had enough of getting their shots blocked at this point. Danley kicks it back out as he misses the first free throw. Now there's a reason to be tentative as Frazier comes in. He's the real shot blocker out of the two of those guys. It'll be interesting to see if Penn continues that. It was a little inside out right there. Seemed to be working pretty well. I think Danley had a better shot the first time. Fortunately, gets fouled. Unfortunately, misses the first free throw.
Makes the second, and the lead cuts down to 10. 36-26. Villanova with the ball. They're going right to left towards the coach. Jay Wright. Villanova bench. Of course, Quaker's going left to right. And Nardi controlling at the point. Jabber in the man-to-man. And Ray has it now for Villanova.
It's a 3-2 zone, Adam.
As they do pop into it. This is a different look than they've been playing most of the first half. And breaking that zone, Boy misses a lay-in. Begley gets the rebound. Atlas to Oz looking to beat Nardi, and he ought to hold it up. But Jabber underneath, in the air, catch and shoot layup is good. And the Quakers have cut the lead to 36-28. We've played a minute in the second half.
They just lost them. And Penn's defense isn't a zone. It starts out as a zone, then they jump into the man-to-man at the end. This is something that they do against Princeton every once in a while. It looks like they're zoned, and then when it gets down to the end of that shot clock, they're looking to go man.
Sumpter, shot no good, right baseline, rebound Danley. Well, here we go for Penn, a long pass to Picchiel on the baseline right side, takes a few dribbles, looking for Danley in a turnover as Picchiel gives it up. Here's Ray in transition the other way. Shot is no good, rebound Sumpter, push from behind, two free throws coming up, and it will be a Villanova opportunity off the Picchiel turnover. That's a killer right there. The Quakers starting to get momentum in this one.
Not a bad look, though, by Jan. He got caught in the air. Danley was cutting down the lane. Got to make that pass. No reason for him to leave his feet right there. And then there's also no reason for him to kind of throw that back in. Throw it with two hands, bounce pass. Danley gets a layup. Then going the other way, Sumpter gets to the line after Penn unable to get another offensive rebound.
This is the first, though, Vince. 18:34 to go here.
Yes, he does miss the first, Adam.
And it's an 8-point lead. So Quakers start off with the first 3 points of the second half. See if they can keep it going. But you can see how that full court pressure is. Sumpter makes the second. Just wore the Quakers down in the half court set. Then they backed off a bit the last 3-4 minutes. But the Quakers couldn't get anything going as they go back to the full court pressure. As they barely break it. Jabber now left baseline looking for Danley. Goes up. Shot not there. And the Quakers get the rebound. Back down to Danley. Danley splitting the defense. Goes up. Blocked out of bounds. It'll be Penn ball. No, a lot of contact. No foul.
Danley, to his credit, attacking the basket right there. Looked like he got fouled on the first dunk. Then the second time he decided, he's going, you know, I'm going to go right through it. I bet that the coaches said to him, we got to keep attacking. We got to have some kind of presence in there.
Picchiel from 18. Good. Off the inbounds pass. And the lead is cut to 7. 37-30. And we play 2 minutes here in the second half.
Penn's in that 3-2 zone again. Although Jabber's extending. This is kind of they want to force them to start their offense a little further out. But it is definitely a zone.
Well, Villanova unable to hurt Penn from the outside as Nardi has it, dribbles into the lane, kicks it out into the corner for Foy, and the three is good. And back up to 10, a big shot by Foy as the Quakers in transition, Jabber underneath, pump fake, lays it home, and the Quakers with a quick two, 40-32. Villanova with 17:30 to play here in regulation.
Penn obviously identified something at halftime because that's the second time that they've just sent Evie Jabber flying down the floor for a bucket.
Sumpter down the lane, wild, out of control, but a foul's going to be called against the Quakers, and that was going to be...
called a charge.
No, they called a charge, and no one... No, the crowd, your friends at Villanova can't believe it, and it'll be the Quaker ball down by 8, 17:24 to play here in regulation. And more full court pressure from Villanova is the.
And if you're Penn, let them mop it up. Let them take a couple of minutes because you want to conserve every bit of energy that you have.
And Quakers have all of their timeouts remaining, by the way, down the stretch to save some energy. It's Begley over the timeline to Danley, and now the Quakers set up offense. Danley has it on the right baseline, takes a few dribbles into the lane, has to give it back out to Jabber. Now Begley right side with Nardi on him. Nice look to Danley. Danley up, no good. He is hammered. by Frazier, but pops back up and will go to the line for two free throws, and that is the third foul on Frazier.
Great up fake by Danley. That last time, again, Penn has Begley on Nardi, mismatch on the low block. He interchanges with Danley, who throws a great up fake, and Frazier goes flying up. Looks like he hurt himself coming down a little bit. Might have tweaked his back a little bit, but Danley's got to step up now and make these two.
Quite a ski lodge. It's gone awfully quiet, man. You get a fireplace and a cup of hot cocoa. Take a book.
Got a long way to go in this one, Adam. A long way to go.
Stanley misses a free throw. 17:04 to play here, and Quakers are getting to the line, but only 7-13.
Yeah, 7-13. That's 7-14 now, right?
Yep.
So that's, I mean, you can't go 7-14 and expect to win this game. You're going to have to shoot 70% from the line or better.
So Sumpter going to the end of the bench.
I think he's got a little blood on the uni.
And the substitution. Well, they're going to not get a substitute.
They got it. He got blood on the uni.
Yeah,
got to get him out of the game.
He's out.
They're trying to wrap him up.
That gives.
I can tell you this right now, Adam. If they put him back on the floor, when the referee jumps in front of me, I'm going to tell him. I'm going to. Everybody hates a tattletale. I would be a tattletale. Get Sumpter off the court for a couple of minutes.
And he is. 17:04 to play here. Second half, 40-32. Villanova as Danley steps to the line for another free throw.
Hopefully Danley got a chance to catch his breath here and able to knock this one down.
And it's Austin in the game for Sumpter. Nope, 0-2, and the rebound to Foy. That is a killer. 16:58 to play, 8-point lead for Nova. As kicked to Nardi in the corner for three, and it's good. Well, remember that, Vince, right there. Two missed free throws by Danley, and a three by Nardi. 11-point lead is exactly what it was at the half.
5-point swing right there, Adam. We talk about it all the time.
You know, and Danley, a game where you really just haven't done much. Getting to be more active in the second half, you've got to convert. It's Vickie looking to answer and does with a three from the top of the circle. And it's 43-35, Villanova with 16:20 to play.
I'm said in our pregame interview, the guy he wants to step up is John. He's, hey, he's a senior. Been here before. He knows this stuff. Got to step up. Two big jumpers by Big John right there.
Begley has still only taken one shot. He hasn't even taken a three. And Randy Foy is going to launch a jumper over him. Doesn't get the roll. Jabber, weak side, and rebound. Rips it down, and now Begley has it over the timeline to Danley. Danley going to go down the lane. Looks out to Jabber. Catch and shoot three is no good. Long rebound to Nardi. And Villanova controls. 15:45 to play. 8-point lead for Nova.
Pretty good look that time by Jabber, though. You hit that, Danley dive in the lane. He pulls up, kicks it back out to Jabber, who's wide open. Not a bad look right there.
Foy, right side behind the arc. Goes into the lane, leaves it on the right baseline for Austin. And a foul on Danley. Not a charge.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
And that is his... Could that be Danley's fourth?
That is his fourth. That is Danley's fourth. I'm not sure what he's supposed to do right there. I'm dumbfounded at how atrocious that call was. Penn's trying to squeak their way back into this game. Danley takes a shot, stands there, takes a shot. It's like that Eddie Sutton football drill that they showed on the Final Four last year with everybody out there in jerseys.
Let's check in with our sideline reporter standing by, Brian Seltzer. Brian, what do you got? Ryan is standing by somewhere. But we'll have to get to Brian in a moment.
Back to my diatribe.
Back to
Vince. I'm over it, Adam. Referees make good calls and they make bad calls. I get a little caught up in the emotion right there.
So it's 43-35. Quakers have done a good job here in the second half. Up the intensity a little bit. But a couple of key moments here and there.
Here's what I've also noticed about Penn. They have not, we talked about, you know, that they're going to need to come back and be very careful about how they attack. They have been still going after him offensively. Every time that they've had a chance,
they've attacked, and they've gotten some easy buckets to their credit.
And the Quakers? From here, Vince, now they start playing games, no more 23-day layoffs. From here they go. They have a Tuesday game in San Francisco against the Dons team that's won seven straight. That will be a tough game. Then from there they go play University of Illinois Chicago in Chicago. Many thought that might have been the tougher game. It looks like the Dons game might, in fact, be the tougher game. Both tough mid-major, games.
They're all tough on the road, especially against those mid-major teams. So Penn's playing up to a couple of good players right now, or excuse me, a couple of good teams right now. It's going to make it even more difficult since they got to go across the country and back and then out to Chicago. So it doesn't get easy. Fortunately, there's only one break. I think it's Lafayette St. Joe. There's a one-week break between those two. Other than that, the games will become pretty fast and furious the rest of the way. As Austin makes that first free throw, 44-35 Villanova with 15:32 to go.
Now you look at Penn. They're in the middle of a stretch, 6-7 on the road. The only home game in that stretch, Ryder. Second shot by Austin, in and out, no good, but the rebound to Sumpter. Pennell couldn't get it. The putback, no good. Sumpter's got it back, stripped by Begley. They're going to call a foul on the floor against Quakers, and Villanova will take it out of bounds. And let's see who they get.
Begley.
It's got to be Begley, I think.
Oh, well, they might have just said he tipped it out of bounds. They didn't officially make a foul call, so it was out of bounds on Begley on our far side, underneath the basket, and now Foy has it for Villanova. 15:20 to go. Sumpter looking to take Ficchio. Ficchio, nice job defensively, and he has to give it up to Foy on the perimeter left side. Throw on the floor now, top of the circle for Ray. Ray driving on Begley, looking to go up and under, has to outlet it to Sumpter. Sumpter, pull up Jay, 15 feet away, no good. Petnella the rebound, and the lead remains 9. 5 minutes to be played here in this second half.
Even though Villanova didn't capitalize on that offensive rebound off the missed free throw, Penn still had to spend a lot of energy playing more defense. When you get the opportunity to get the ball back, you got to do it.
Here's Begley, jump stop, fouled by Nardi on the reach-in. Absolutely. And it'll be Quaker ball. So for Nardi, that's number one on Nardi. Four fouls against Nova, 2 on 10 here to start the second half.
Watch the skip pass to Jan off the inbound coming again.
Well, longer outlet pass to Petnella. Now Ficchiel has it, but Ficchiel about 40 feet away. Hands it off to Oz. Oz around the screen from Begley. Pull-up jumper is good. A long two from the left side. And the lead is 7, 44-37. Quakers down 7, 14:30 to play. But Vince,
keep punching. Ben keeps punching. Everybody keeps getting a little more effort, and bucket here, bucket there. You know, they got that 5-point swing earlier, and that's just about the difference in this game.
Here's Foy with it right baseline, going into the lane, leaving it for Ray. Pump fakes the three, draws some defenders. Now Nardi, wide open three is in and out, but Foy comes in for the board. Blocked from behind by Petnella. He gets it back, but I believe it hit the backboard. And it will go...
Hit the support for the backboard. It's going to be Villanova ball.
Villanova.
Petnella blocked it, although Petnella was coming down and Foy was going up, so I'm not sure how that works. But at the same time, Penn's got to get that rebound.
Yeah.
A lot of effort to prevent the shot, not able to get the rebound.
Ray gets the inbound pass, loses it, but does Begley push him? Are they going to call a foul on Begley? Oh, that's a terrible call. They're going to call the push on Begley, and Villanova will get it back. 2 on Begley. Quaker lineup is Begley, Osmondson, and Jabber in the game with Ficchiel and Petnella. It's Foy, Nardi, and Ray, Sumpter, and Austin down low. Nardi hands off to Ray on the left side behind the arc. High screen set, Sumpter, Ray, fall away three, not there. Rebound, Austin, over Petnella. Austin has to dribble it out. He's double teamed, and they call a foul on Oz. Another questionable call. And that will be Penn's 15th foul for Osmondson, his second.
Petnella's got to be careful. He's got 3 fouls already. He can't pick one up in a trap like that. He's got to be a little smarter right there. They bailed him out because I think Petnella really committed more of the foul. But they called it on Oz.
Nardi to Foy near half court. But a fresh 35 and more work here for Penn defensively. Sumter has it now on the block. Turns around. The jumper over Ficchio is short. Begley with the rebound. So Villanova with all the chances in the world and nothing there. Here's Penn on the other end. Off pass, right to left. Dangerous pass. Oz's backdoor pass picked off by Ray, and Ray is going to be fouled by Begley in transition. And the Quakers turn it over, looking for Jabber down low. It goes the other way, and that'll be the 15th foul now against Penn. 13:25 to go here, Vince, in regulation. Quakers getting into foul trouble. Begley's third.
Begley's third. That last play, he throws a skip pass to Oz on the far wing. E.B. Dives, who was in the far corner, back door, almost there. Ray does a nice job to steal it. Begley does a better job to commit the foul at the top of the key and make Villanova work to get a basket rather than giving up a dunk and letting them get some momentum.
Well, Floyd tracks down the pass. You credit the pen all the way into the backcourt. In fact, about 5 feet from the end line. And now Nardi with it. The top of the circle, dribbling down the lane, backs it out, gives it up. Floyd has isolation on Oz on the right sideline. High screen set by Sumter. Floyd stops dribbling, gives it off to Sumter. Goes around Pettinella. Good ball movement to Ray for three. It's good. Great ball movement by Villanova, and the lead is 10 with 12:50 to go.
Terrific ball movement by Villanova. And now Nardi strips Begley at the top of the key.
Loses it, gets it back, and they called him out of bounds?
They said Ray was out of bounds and came back in.
Wow, Penn ball. They get a break. 12:45 to go.
Penn gets a real break right there. I was talking earlier in the game, I thought Nardi really hasn't been the thorn in Penn's side like he was last year. I was about to say it again, and he goes and steals that ball from Begley. He seems to be picking it up a little bit here in the second half.
The lead is 10, as well as Penn has played this half.
And he's talking smack out there, Nardi.
Here's Abidi in for Begley. Ray on him. Abidi looking for help. Finds Pettinella at the top of the circle. Pettinella to Oz. Now Pettinella goes down below. And without Begley in there, Vince, you can just see the Penn offense just not the same.
Pettinella's got Foy on him, though. You got to get him the ball.
Oz leaving it for Pettinella right baseline. Goes up, partially blocked by Austin from behind. It'll be 9 to shoot, 10 ball underneath on the near side.
Pettinella got caught too low on the baseline, so he didn't have anywhere to go with the ball as he went up. If he's a step further out right there, he probably completes that play.
We haven't seen a lot of Mark Zoller, or any of Mark Zoller in this half, in fact. Inbound pass to Pettinella, going up and in, and count the bucket as he lays it just over the rim, and the foul against Austin.
Payback for the one down on the other end, Adam. There was no doubt about it. At least they were consistent in the call. On the other end, Danley got hosed because he just stood there as the Villanova player runs into him. This time, Pettinella just dove into Sumter, that it was, or Austin. Into Austin.
Pettinella can't get it. Ficchio keeps it alive. That is tipped on the floor. Here's Abidi and a jump ball going Villanova's way. So, free throws for Penn. That's down by 8 points. They're 7 of 16 at the line.
That one just bounced around. That one really wanted to go in, and it didn't. And it looked like Abidi was going to be able to tip it in. Then it looked like Penn was going to come up with the ball. Jan looked like he had a beat on it, then Villanova knocked it away again. Jump ball. Possession will now go back to Villanova. Penn gets the next jump.
Freshman David Whitehurst checks up the game for Penn. 6'3 guard, 195 from Kitten Falls, New Jersey. Whitehurst has yet to hit a field goal in his Penn career. 0-7 from the field. Got some time earlier in the season and some losses we don't necessarily need to get into right now. But Whitehurst is out there and he's playing Mike Nardi, and that's about as tough a test as he's faced thus far early in his career.
Two Jersey guys, they probably know each other from the summer league circuit.
Sumter has it in the lane. Jump stops. Put in defense and a two-shot foul coming up. If it's Pettinella, it's his fourth. If it's Ficchio, and it's Ficchio, it is his third.
Timeout again at the 11:54 mark. Coming just in time. Penn, to their credit, has hung around.
Absolutely, Vince, but unable to make that push. Let's check in with Brian Seltzer on the sidelines. Brian, what do you got?
All right, Adam, thanks a lot. I'm here with Paul Jolovich, an evening host of WIP. And, Paul, you look at the Philadelphia sports team, the Big Five always attracts a lot of attention, has good appeal. with so much many other options on the Philadelphia sports plate, why does the Big Five captivate so many fans?
Well, two levels. I mean, it's unique. First of all, no other city in the country has six Division One teams, if you include Drexel. And, you know, there's so many alumni around. I'm a Penn alumni, obviously. There's a ton of Templeville and everybody alumni around. And then the games are competitive. There's that unique city spirit. And then you combine that with the run that St. Joe's had last year, and it's something that's always going to draw people. You have the Celeste, the great arenas, and it's just, I think, the tradition plus the fact that it's just solid Division I basketball brings people back year after year.
Talking about that solid Division I basketball, certainly Villanova has a tough test ahead of them down the road in the Big East Conference. Has their schedule sufficiently prepared them for the play that's down the road?
The schedule has sufficiently prepared them to have a nice record come Big East time. They have not played a killer schedule, no. And there's a lot of different schools on that. Jay Wright, you know, they wanted to fatten up the early schedule. They have a team that wanted to kind of re-identify itself, and they played a pretty soft schedule. They're 6-1, but without a big test. They play good defense, but no, when they get to the Big East, they're going to be playing some of the Syracuse's kids, UConn's, and I think they're going to have a little problem there because of their size, but, you know, they are what they are. They're a pretty good team that's going to be walking into Big Waters a couple weeks from now. Actually, they play West Virginia on the 5th.
All right, Paul, thanks a lot. Happy New Year. We're looking forward to seeing around the plus of this season.
And you too. Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks very much, Paul, and thanks, Brian.
I think Jolly hit it right on the head there. Hit the nail right on the head. Villanova not been tested early. It's going to prepare them to have a good record. Who knows how they're going to react to that tough Big East competition.
And what really hurts Villanova as Sumpter gets the first free throw to go, 48-39 Nova now, is the change in the RPI, which was recently announced, in fact, just at the start of the season, that they're going to count road wins more than home wins. And this is a team that's just feasting at home against mid-major team, or less, you might say, or low-major teams, as both free throws go, and it's a 10-point Villanova lead, and full-court pressure here from Nova.
At some point, you got to pay the man.
So we'll see how it affects Villanova as they head into Big East play. That is the test for them. Pettinelli gets it over the timeout himself. He's in the game with Whitehurst, who has it on the right side. A couple pump fakes, and his shot blocked out of bounds by Ray.
Interesting lineup for Penn right now. You got Abidi, you have Whitehurst, Zoller.
Not for long, then.
There you go. Duff's doing the offense defense, it looks like. He's trying to save these guys a couple of possessions defensively. So Abidi and Whitehurst will go out. Look for him to try and do this at every opportunity the rest of the way.
1:39 to go. 10-point lead for Nova. Begley, long inbound pass to Jabber. He tracks it down near the Villanova B. From the pavilion, Adam Herzog, 0-0. Vince Curran with you here. Big Five basketball. Quakers sticking around this one. Looking to make a push as Osmussen gets it to Pettinelli on the left block. Athletic movement. Stripped by Nardi. Gets it back. Up and under move. No good. Frazier may have gotten a piece of it. Frazier controls.
Pettinelli, to his credit, just keeps attacking, though.
Here's Foy. Bounce pass into the low block. Sumpter. Zoller comes over to help out. Zoller and Pettinelli down low with Jabber, Begley, and Oz. Three by Sumpter left side is good. And Sumpter's starting to pick up the points. He's got a team-high 12 to go along with 11 rebounds. So there's your double-double. And the lead up to a game-high 13. Jabber has it now on a skip pass right to left from Begley. Pettinelli, a nice play to Zoller. The layup is no good, and the rebound to Ray. And Mark Zoller's got to hit that. Wide open layup underneath.
Great pass by Pettinelli. Zoller got challenged a little bit there and just not able to convert it in traffic. Kick ball on the other end. Villanova going to reset the shot clock here.
Yeah, Mark Zoller, not his best game today. 1-7 from the field, 2 points. And had some looks. Begley will get a breather here as Whitehurst comes in.
Had some decent looks, no doubt about it. Just Penn's going to need to find some offense. Defense hasn't really been a huge problem for them to this point. 39 points with 10 minutes to go is a little tough.
As Ray caught in the air, but gets it to Frazier. Double team, jump ball, Penn ball.
Going the other way.
Nice job, Marzal, fronting him as Begley will check back into the game. Cranzuffy trying to get him any rest he can. And Vince Penn, and maybe we should get into this a little bit, without catch now available for Penn. It's kind of an odd situation for the Quakers where they have more front court depth than back court depth.
It's going to need to be Whitehurst. Yeah, Whitehurst is going to need, they've been playing three guards all year. You're going to need to play Whitehurst a little bit more. You're going to need to play Abidi a little bit more.
Zoller trapped in the back court. So Oz, now Begley has it open to Jabber. Flying in the air, laying no good, but a foul called, and Jabber will head to the line. But the Quakers, had they hit some free throws, well, if you even go 10 of 16, right now it's still only a 10-point game and you're at the line, but they need to make up 13 points with 10-17 to go and Jabber at the line for two.
There's plenty of time left in this game for Penn to make a run at them. The problem is Penn offensively hasn't been able to get enough shots to fall. They've been getting good looks. They just need to make them as Evie steps up and makes the first free throw. 52-40, 10-17 to go.
Plenty of time. But starts at the line, which the Quakers have done a good job getting to, as Jabber drains the second. Whitehurst comes in for Oz. Quakers, the foul trouble has been a story. Petnella has three, Begley has three, Picchiel has three, Danley has four. And Danley is on the bench with Picchiel, and Oz has been on the bench. He has got two. So Whitehurst now guarding Lowry, the freshman, who brings it up. Back to Lowry. Lowry had an open three, but gave it up to Foy, who misses the open three. And the ball tipped to Zoller. Now to Whitehurst. And here's Begley. Begley, nice feed to Zoller. In the air, out to Whitehurst for three.
Oh.
It's good! David Whitehurst, welcome to Pennsylvania. And it's 52-44 Villanova with 9:48 to go.
That's the first basket of his career, Adam?
It is. That was a pretty good
That's
one.
That's a big one right there, I'll tell you. Penn continuing to attack. Tim Begley running and jumping on defense. I don't know how he keeps going.
Foy, right side behind the arc. Little leaner is no good. Petnella is mug going out of bounds, but no call. Now Begley to Jabber. Jabber on the left side in the front court. Back to Begley. Get past Whitehurst. Catch and shoot three. Is way off the mark. No good. And the rebound to Ray. And here's Ray dribbling all over the place. And finally, Villanova controls with Lowry. Beating the post to Frazier. Frazier back to Lowry. Catch and shoot three. No good. Long rebound, though, to Austin. And Villanova's going to take another three. Missed it. Foy fighting for the rebound, but loses it out of bounds.
What, Whitehurst got a little lucky right there. He didn't box out Foy. Foy came right over the top of him and knocked it out of bounds. Whitehurst a little quick on that second three. Missed it by about 6 feet. And Eric Osmondson coming back into the game. Dave Duke telling Whitehurst as he goes out, you got to box him out there. And the shot wasn't a bad shot. He just wasn't able to get a good look at it. The Villanova player came flying at him as Danley also checks back into the game.
For Petnella, and here's Jabber, catch and shoot three. No good on the right side, and the rebound to Frazier. And they're going to call a foul on Zoller in the backcourt. A hold on Frazier, and that is for Zoller. Well, that's only his first, but that'll send him to the line for free throws, Vince, a 1-1.
1-1 for Frazier. At this point, if the referee is going to let Frazier elbow you in the jaw like that, there should be a rule where you're just allowed to get up and punch the guy in the face, because at this point, what else is Zoller supposed to do? He does a great job of getting up, putting the pressure on him. Frazier bows him in the chops. Zoller goes down. The referee says, hey, you know, that one's on you, Zoller. You got your chin in the way of his elbow.
Inconvenient the way
and
that
Bob happened. Donato just said the same thing to Frazier. Said, yes, son, do not swing that elbow again.
Missed the free throw. Rebound.
Big rebound in traffic by Danley.
Yeah, and they call a foul on the other end, and that'll be a 1-1 now for Penn.
The man's rebound in traffic by Danley right there. Went up, attacked it. Now he's got to go up and attack these two free throws and knock them down.
Yeah, 1-4 at the line. This is the real man needs, right? The real man's
solid 1-4. Dump giving the dump clap over there saying that somebody would just please make a free throw here. 1-1. These are big. First one's the big one. Got it.
Yep.
Perfect. Outstanding.
What'd you think of that one, Vince? Really?
You know what? I'm right on eyes with him.
You saw it the whole way. And it's 52-45. And the Quakers doing a great job hanging around. With 8:48 to go. One more, by the way, that foul. Called on Ray, and the second one is no good. Zoller got
fouled too. Perfect.
He gets fouled by Ray, and it'll be a 1-1 for Zoller. So Mark Zoller, as the Quakers are 10 of 19 at the free throw line, the eighth foul on Villanova.
And that's the only problem here. They keep going back to the free throw line. What did they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. We're happy that we're going to the free throw, and we still keep making 1-2.
Well,
right,
Zoller
goes, Zoller.
11-21 now at the line. And it's a 6-point game with 8:47 left.
Ray pumped Zoller a little bit. He came flying across there. This game's getting a little chippy. Villanova's trying to thug it up a little bit.
And 1-2 at the line, Jabber the rebound, and the ball goes to Sumter.
Unbelievable.
What a play by Frazier.
Unbelievable that Penn doesn't come up with that ball. Jabber had it, Zoller had it, Villanova somehow walked out of there with it. That could have been a huge possession, Adam.
Quakers leave a point out there as Ray has it. On the right side, off his foot, out of bounds,
absolutely.
Penn ball.
Absolutely. Great pressure defense by the Quakers. So again, 8:24 to go. Penn's going to get one more possession before the 8-minute timeout. You love to see Penn get a bucket and get a chance to go in and regroup again.
Osmondson fouled by Frazier. 1-1, Eric Osmondson. Like, I feel like we're like some sort of amusement park, Vince. Where it's just your ticket, punch a ticket to the line.
It's a roller coaster,
you get a
ride. I feel like I've been playing this game, Adam. I tell you, I get caught up in the emotion of this, but how can Frazier commit that foul? How do you foul him 30 feet away from the basket as he's dribbling away? That's his fourth foul. You keep talking about guys that are becoming, they're getting older and they're learning how to play. That's just dumb.
Like the junior. Oz makes it. 52-47. It is getting interesting. As Osmondson has one more. Let's see if he breaks the pattern and hits this one.
And Dump's going to get a stop if he makes it to get Whitehurst in the game. Good offense, defense again.
Nope.
Unbelievable.
In and out, no good.
Unbelievable.
Rebound Frazier. 52-47, Villanova with 8:15 to play. And here's Foy in the lane. Leaner is good.
Wow. Unbelievable shot by Foy. Here comes Penn attacking again.
8 minutes to go and a 7-point lead, but the Quakers just leaving way too many points out there. 12 of 24 at the foul line. Here's Oz down the lane to the hole.
Oh, Oz, how about it?
And he hurt his head as he smacked it against the foam on the net, but he's all right.
That's going to get the timeout, too. I think the stoppage in play will get the timeout, so you hate to see anybody get banged like that, but Oz hitting his head right there. Bobby Donato stopping him. He's just adjusting the knee bad. He hit his head. That was the problem. How about the take, though? Little crossover at the top of the key goes right to the basket. Says, you know what? Frazier's out of the game. I'm taking this to the rack.
And it's 54-49 Villanova. It's 7:49 to go. And again, this place is nice and quiet. The fire, I think, is crackling, Vince, in the corner.
Who's ready for
some hot cocoa here at the ski lodge? But it's just a great effort from Penn. They've done so many things right, Vince, in this game, and you don't want to harp on one aspect. But Penn has done a great job getting to the line. They've been to the line more than Nova has, 24 times to Nova's 20.
Yeah, but Adam, to that point, if Villanova keeps going out and playing aggressive, and if you play aggressive and you keep pushing out and try and attack and attack and attack, you're going to commit fouls. So it's not surprising that Villanova's committed a lot of fouls, given the way they want to play defense. That's that 40 minutes of hell defense that Nolan Richardson used to play. He didn't care if his guys got in foul trouble because they were only playing 20 minutes a night anyway. In this situation, Jay Rice, okay, you got foul trouble, next. He just keeps throwing bigger, better, more athletic guys out there.
You know, and the really encouraging aspect of this game, if you're a Penn fan, is for the second straight game, you have Tim Begley, not much of a factor scoring-wise, certainly a factor defensively.
He's still got another shot off. He's got one shot. He hasn't got one in the second half.
I don't think it's in the first shot. I don't even think it's the wrist. So, but you have Jabber with 16, although only 2 is 7 from 3. And you have Picchio with 7. You have Osmondson there, his 8 points. Fentanyl, of course, with 8 points. Other guys have done a nice job stepping up in place of Tim Begley to keep this game close and give the Quakers a shot here down the stretch where then maybe Begley can get off a couple of good looks. Here with 7:49 left, down by 5.
Penn shooting 2 the rest of the way, so they got to keep attacking. Now, I think Villanova just put in Chris Charles. Is that who 50 is?
Mm-hmm. So they put in Will Sheridan and the whistle.
I thought that was Charles. I thought Jay Wright had enough of, and that is Sheridan. I'm sorry. I thought he was trying to.
Whitehurst gets a foul call in the backcourt, Vince. And that is going to be a 1-1 for Villanova. That is exactly what Fran Dunphy did not draw up out of the timeout. On the floor for Penn, it is Jabber, Begley. Osmondson is going to come in for Whitehurst. And Petnella and Dollar. Foy, Ray, Nardi, Sheridan, who has 4 personal fouls.
I don't think Jay's worried about Sheridan fouling out.
Here's Ray, 1-1, good. That is 55-49 now, 7:49 to go.
And Villanova now 15 for 21 from the free throw line.
Very good.
So they're 72%, Penn at a solid 50%. A lot of free throws in this game. How about that for in-depth analysis, Adam?
7-point lead for Villanova. Quakers at least have left 3 points in the last 2 minutes at the foul line. As Jabber has it for Penn, Nardi on him in the man-to-man. Quakers going left to right, Villanova right to left. Jabber dribbling around and he's in trouble. Finds Zoller for three. No good. Pettinella fighting for the rebound and it's into the hand of Boyd.
Zoller's going to need
Jabber steal and the layup goes. And it's 56-51. Villanova as Jabber does it again.
Take that, Randy Boyd. Who are you? I'm E.B. Jabber.
It's Boyd. Over the timeline, into the right baseline for Ray. Jump stop, lay-in, good. Nice job out of Villanova. And it's under 7 to play in the 7-point lead for the home team. Some speed and athleticism getting that ball to Ray. Here's Begley to Oz on the left wing. Oh, Begley was looking for the three, but Zoller instead, the trailer down low, has to kick it out to Jabber, spinning around on Nardi, leaving it for Zoller right baseline to Pettinella, can't handle the ball into the hands of Sumpter.
Too hot to handle that pass, a little firm by Zoller.
Sumpter feeling it before the shot, be a foul called on Pettinella, and that will be his fourth. 6:34 to play here from Villanova, 58-51 Wildcats, and it'll be a 1-1 coming up. Pettinella with four, Danley with four, Picchiel with three, but Jan really hasn't played much.
Here he comes. Right on cue, Adam.
There you go. But I really like the big man rotation in this game from Coach Dunphy.
Well, he said in the pregame he'd love to see those four guys split the 80 front court minutes that are available, and it's pretty close to that tonight.
Penn is going to need Mark Zoller to step up a little. He is the only big man not in foul trouble. Only has one. Sumpter's 1-1. He gets the roll in the first. Nice soft rim.
He's going to need to make a shot. Zoller's going to need to make a shot. Jan has made a couple, so maybe Jan's the guy that's stepping up down the stretch.
Just like that, Villanova can extend this one back up to 9.
I've never seen more high fives than I've just seen by Villanova after that made free throw. Hey, 6 guys high five and then they stop. Hey, let's high five again.
Oh, you can high-five
him one more.
He made it. 60-51. Sumpter will take a rest. Frazier in the game. Frazier with 4 fouls.
And now Jay Wright doing the same thing. He wants to do a little offense defense. He wants to get Frazier back there for a couple more defensive possessions before he fouls out.
Here's Osmondson on the baseline to Jabber on the right baseline. Jabber to the hole. The floater. In and out. No good. Rebound Frazier. Just couldn't get the roll.
Jabber is athletic, though. He almost got that offensive rebound over Frazier.
Boy, offensive foul from down on.
It's a terrible call. Awful, awful call.
I'll tell you, that official has made some bad calls on both ends. They called it on... It's a charge.
Who do you call it on?
The Zoba guys are at the free throw line. Call it on.
That is the right call. As much as I'd like to have it, it's the right call. Oz fouled him. It was an awful charge call. It was a correct block call.
Don's having some words now. No, it was the right call. But Boyd to the line. Unfortunately for Penn fans, they can extend the lead back to what it was at the half. 6:15 to go. Boyd, good.
Villanova, to their credit, they're stepping up and making free throws now. 19 for 25.
Yep.
I think by my math, that's 76%, Adam.
Yep, the Quakers shoot 76%. They're down by 2. They have no one to blame but themselves. Which is...
Coach, you can't go out there and shoot free throws for you.
Nope.
You got to go out there and do it yourself.
Boy,
no
good on the second. Out and over the back on Sumpter. That is a loose ball on the floor. Begley has it. And it's out of bounds off of Boy.
They called Boy touching it while he was out of bounds. I think that was Bob Donato's way of not calling a foul on Foy in the backcourt.
All right, 6:09 to go, 10-point lead for Villanova, and the Quakers need some offense. Begley, everyone else backs off him and gets it off the Picchiel on the right wing. Leaves it for Jabber. Jabber double team, bounce pass Picchiel, right baseline. Jay is off the mark, and Allen comes in for the rebound. Ray, and they're going to call a foul finally against Zoller.
That's a good call. Zoller attacked him a little hard. That last time, Jan Picchiel, right in front of him, did the dribble handoff, but went into a double team. So E.B. Jabber got stuck and had to throw it back to Jan. Jan actually got a decent look on the baseline, not able to knock it down, as Fran Dunphy decides he wants to talk this one over. 10 points, he doesn't want to let it get away. 5:50 to go, 61-51, Villanova. But to the point of earlier, Jan gets a decent look down there, not able to knock it. You're not going to make every shot. Zoller trying to put a little pressure on Ray as he came in for the rebound. Zoller and Jabber both trying to trap, just not able to get it completed. There was too much space on the court. They didn't have any angle to trap him. He had all sorts of ways that he could turn, and as he stepped through, Zoller definitely fouled him. So now you have to be careful. Villanova just keeps stepping up, making two free throws, and
the game will get out of hand.
Yeah, it goes from a 6-point game to a 10-point game to a 12-point game.
Which is why the Quakers really had their chance a couple minutes ago.
Okay.
Had some trips to the strip to do it, but you know what? It's a game where Danley hasn't been much of a factor, and Begley hasn't taken the three. He's taken one shot.
Still plenty of time left, 5:50 in a 10-point game. But what now needs to happen is you got to figure out a way to get Tim Begley involved in the offense. But the bigger problem is he's the one that's got to handle the ball. So he's got to initiate the offense, and when he's initiating it, the ball goes away from him. It just hasn't made it back to him in the course of the offense.
And the work he has to, the energy he's exerting out there.
Absolutely.
He's playing two games out here every time he steps on the
absolutely.
Floor.
Absolutely. He's got to get the ball. He's got to run the press offense. He's got to get the ball over half court. Then you need him to kind of take that hat off and say, all right, I'm gonna wear the scorer's hat. It's just a lot that needs to be done. You need somebody else to step up, or you need to find Begley some opportunities, maybe in transition, maybe off a miss. But he's going to need to score a couple baskets if Penn wants to win this game. Villanova, to their credit, has done a terrific job of taking him out of it. But factor into that that he has had to be the point guard for a lot of the night. So that has taken him out of his offensive game, too. And I shouldn't say the point guard. He's had to handle the ball against the press. I mean, Jabber and Oz have done a good job handling the ball, so I don't want to say it that way.
That's two shots coming up here, Vince, for Allen Ray. And he misses the first.
They finally missed one. Well,
there you go. 5:50 left, 10-point lead. And I think another thing, maybe an area of concern for Penn is, which hasn't been a concern here for a long time, but really a backcourt player off the bench to come up and step up. And that really is lacking, I think, right now, as someone's going to have to take the place of Michael Cash. It's Ray James II. And Priyabidi tonight saw some minutes, but didn't necessarily give you offensively a threat off the bench. That's something that they are missing as Osmussen throws it away to Frazier. Frazier's going to be fouled by Zoller, and it'll be a two-shot foul coming up for Jason Frazier.
That's a good foul by Zoller. What's he supposed to do? Let him run in there and dunk it? Frazier pumped him at the other end when he threw the elbow at him. I'm surprised Zoller didn't hit him harder. I mean, that's the only problem that I have with him. It was a clean foul. He played the ball.
The official talking to Frazier, who swings those elbows.
Yeah, official should be telling Frazier, you want to swing those, you want to run with the big dog, you got to be prepared to get bit every once in a while.
5:39 to go, and time becoming a factor for Penn. Frazier makes the free throw. Villanova has done an outstanding job at the free throw line tonight. As Nardi checked out and Larry checked in, 21-29, 70, just about 73%.
Nardi better be careful because I think Lowry might start taking some of his minutes. He looks like a player.
No good on the second. Picchiel with the rebound, and the lead is 12. 5:30 to play, but Nova defensively has done a terrific job on Penn for the most part, especially the perimeter guys. Zoller, top of the circle. The Oz. Boy and Ray have been so good pressuring the guards. And here's Osmussen going to the hole. The little floater not there. Rebound, Frazier. He just gets this one, Vince. It's slipping away, and it travels.
Great call. Begley again in the right place at the right time. Forced Foy to walk as he was trying to run the press offense. And that wasn't a bad look by Oz there. He took the ball to the bench, just not able to get it to fall.
12-point lead for Villanova. Begley sets a high screen for Osmondson. Two number 14s guarding each other. And Jabber, bad pass, but he splits the defense nicely, gets it back, somehow lays it home.
Unbelievable.
And the lead is 10. 63-53 with 4:50 to go.
Unbelievable quick hands there by Jabber, because Oz pretty much threw that at his feet. It kicked around, and the ball finally bounced Penn's way. 10-point game with 4:40 to go.
Now both teams seeing the double bonus. Foul-wise, Villanova has done a solid job as Foy to the hole, layup no good. Frazier gets the rebound, loses it, Picchio with it, and a jump ball will go Villanova's way. 4:26 to go in a 10-point lead.
And it just doesn't seem like Penn can get that loose ball when they need it. There's another opportunity to get a rebound. I think Dump's thinking the same thing. You know, we should have had that rebound. Maybe I'll get Petnell in there and he'll get a rebound.
Zoller out. 3 points for Zoller. As near side beneath the basket, it'll be Lowry. Check it in. Long pass for Foy and a fresh 35 at 4:20 to go. Foy, nearly stripped by Jabber, gets it back and gets it to the baseline to Sumter, who brings it up the far sideline to Lowry. Lowry jumps up in the lane to Frazier. Frazier is completely mugged by Picchiel.
Good foul.
And they'll go to the line for two.
Good foul. Frazier got him up in the air. Picchiel coming down, came down through the ball, and was able to force Frazier to go to the line and make the two free throws rather than give him the layup or the dunk. Now Penn, with 4:15 to go, he can get a little bit of a spurt here. Hopefully Frazier goes one for two. He cut this thing to eight at the four-minute timeout as he makes the first one. Cut it to eight, seven, something like that when you get that next timeout, and you just hopefully get that one run to end the game.
Second shot is in. Frazier's doing a good job at the line.
I guess you need two runs. You need one little run to get it to seven or eight, and then one first to get to the end of the game.
Oh, that's been the difference. At the line, 22-12, Villanova outscoring Penn. 12-point lead for Villanova. They've been to the line 32 times to Penn's 24.
Picchiel
has it to Oz. Oz going up, fouled by Frazier.
That's
He'll
it.
Be out of the game, and Oz will go to the line for two.
That's not insignificant. I'm not sure why Frazier goes for that pump fake right there. He's got a guy that's a half a foot smaller than him. If he stays there with his hands up, it's going to be difficult for Oz to complete that play anyway. Now Frazier's done, and it'll be interesting to see. I guess they bring in Sheridan. Now they're going to bring in Nardi, so they're going to go small. They're going to put good free throw shooters out there, and this should play into Penn's hands. Petnella should have a couple of chances to get something going inside. You might even think about Zoller as well at this point, because he won't have that huge presence of Frazier standing there trying to prevent him from doing what he wants to do.
Hey, so this game has seriously bogged down the last couple of minutes. A lot of foul calls. It's been a very physical Big Five game. No surprise there. Very physical game between these two schools.
No doubt about it, Adam. And it's been challenging. The coaches, I think, have both coached their teams very well. I think Jay Wright has done a very good job of identifying where Villanova has mismatches, where they can be successful, and have done a good job of saying, we're going to push out on you. We're not going to beat Temple and let you sit back there, run your offense, and hope you miss shots down the stretch. Penn, to their credit, has said, you know what? We're going to be able to have more success against you if we attack and if we get easy baskets. So every opportunity we get, we're going to get the ball up the floor, and hopefully we're going to find something easy in transition. And if we don't, we'll run the offense. Villanova's done a very good job against Penn in the half court defensively. Penn's done a very good job of finding opportunities, quick opportunities, and continuing to pressure Villanova defensively.
E.B. Jabber with 20 points, Ben. A new career high for him. For the second straight game for the Quakers, someone in the backcourt other than Begley puts up a 20 spot. But unfortunately for Penn, Tim just unable to get free, having to run the offense and spend all that energy in the half court set, and just in the flow of this game has not been able to get looks. He has not attempted a three-point shot so far, 3:56 to go. But Oz at the line has kept us back to 10.
But if you look at it, Adam, look at the stats. They're relatively close. 18 for 46 for Villanova, 18 for 48 for Penn. 6 for 18 from 3 for Villanova, 5 for 13 for Penn. The big difference, 23 for 32 for Villanova from the line, 12 for 24 for Penn. I think Penn has hung tough on the boards, 40 to 31 Villanova. You pretty much could have predicted that. But it comes down to free throw shooting in this game. Penn has done a very good job taking care of the ball, too. Only 14 turnovers.
Yeah, points in the paint, 22 apiece. Penn's doing a good job. It's just today in this game, in all aspects but one, and it's costing them a chance, perhaps, of pulling off the win as Oz makes the free throw. Still, though, plenty of time, 3:56 to go, and an 11-point lead for Villanova and Jay Wright's crew. Jay still pacing the sidelines, hasn't taken off his coat. Oz makes the second, and the lead is 10. So,
two guys for Villanova out there with four. You have Sumter with four, and
Quaker showing, by the way, a little press. Jabber gets his hand on a ball, but again, the Quaker's just unlucky to get to some loose balls here. As Nardi has it, Sumter down low with Sheridan. It's Nardi, Foy, and Lowry, the freshman.
I'm sorry, there are two Quakers out there with four. I misread the scoreboard. Jan and Petnell, Sumter with four for Villanova.
And Danley with four as well. He's on the bench. Sumter, top of the key, three is in and out, no good. Begley with the rebound, and here we go. It's Begley looking for Jabber over the line to Oz. Oz will set things up. It's a point, and he throws it right at Dunphy.
Adam Killer. Third time that's happened tonight. Big man is cut. The pass was thrown to him, and it's gone to nobody. Just a killer.
That is exactly right, Vince. Type of mistake that Quake is going to have to eliminate at some point.
That's just one of those things, though, Adam. You know, it's not like he's standing around doing nothing. He's trying to make a play and go back door.
Wow, what a pass from Nardi to Sumter, and he's fouled from behind by Jabber. It'll be two free throws coming up.
I don't think that pass was to Sumter. I think that pass was to Frazier, who wasn't ready as it whistled past his ear.
Well, it was to Sheridan.
I'm sorry, to Sheridan.
So here's Sumter at the line, as I keep blowing off Brian Seltzer in a huge way today. He wants to know what he's done to us. Had it set up with Ed Stefanski. Said he had to listen to you, and we had to listen to you and me for another minute and a half.
Sumter, I didn't keep my mouth shut.
Sumter makes both, and 3 minutes to go. Jay Wright takes a 30, 67-55, 12-point lead for Villanova.
3 minutes to go. Again, Adam, there's still time. The Villanova faithful are heading for the exits. A lot of them think that this one's over. With Penn's ability to make shots in spurts, you got to figure that they're still in this game. Unfortunately, the problem today has been their inability to get shots. Not a lot happening around the three-point perimeter. 5 for 13.
And this is exactly what Jay Wright did to Jeff Schiffner last year in the game at the Palestra. They were just all over the leading perimeter threat for Penn.
They've identified a weakness.
And that is how to beat the Quakers. And if you have the athletes to do so.
If you have the athletes to do so. They've identified a weakness. Unfortunately, Penn hasn't been able to come up with that complimentary score. Jabber has been terrific, but it's kind of been in the making the athletic plays and getting after it, not as much in the offense as Villanova does the slap the floor Duke thing. Kind of stupid if you ask me, but what are you going to do?
Well, there's a big difference between Duke and Villanova. As Jabber spinning in the lane, they'll float it in and home, and it goes from 10 feet away, and the lead is 10. Quick bucket.
Nardi fouled him, but did not get the call. Penn picking up full court man-to-man. And the two guys from Jersey, Nardi and Jabber, going after one another.
Nardi on the left side, dribbling around. There's no rush here for Mike Nardi. He finds Sumter driving the lane left side, no good. Begley with the rebound. Quick outlet to Jabber. Jabber has Petinella.
Skip. He had Oz on the skip, but he didn't see him.
Oz has it left side behind the arc. Sheridan in his face. Oz dribbling around the 50 yell, fakes the three, pulls it in, takes the 50
and one.
Counted and the foul
and
on Sheridan. He's gone, Vince, and the lead is cut to 67-59 with 2:11 to go.
Yeah. Nice patience by Penn there. The tendency would be to just take the first good shot to pre- or not even the first good shot, the first good shot, the first shot that presents itself. That time, a couple shots were passed up. John Ficchio with a little up fake there. He had the three, takes the power dribble to his left, a little bit of a fade, able to knock it down. Sheridan, one of the cardinal rules, never foul the jump shooter, fouls the jump shooter. Game's down 8 with 2:11 to go.
Really surprising when you look at this Villanova team and a guy like Will Sheridan, the sophomore. So he's been playing a year. And then you look at Frazier, who's a junior, obviously he's been hurt, hasn't had the same game experience. But these guys are making plays. Quite a little surprising, I would think, in a lot of ways. And really out of...
A little surprising, but again, that's the tempo and the way Villanova has dictated that they're going to play. They're going to attack defensively, and when you do that, you're going to get in foul trouble.
Ficchio makes the free throw. He's got 10 points, and the lead is cut to 7, Vince, with 2:11 to go. So the Quakers sneaking back in. Let's see if they can make the final push as we hit the, the 2-minute mark. Zabber nearly got a steal, and Pettinella is going to tip the ball out of bounds on the front court.
And Jay Wright saying, you got to go get the ball. Alan Ray just stood there and waited for the pass to come to him. Pettinella closed like a cornerback, was able to tip it away. Ray fortunate that Pettinella didn't steal that and go the other direction.
Here's Nardi.
He stepped over the back court.
But he didn't. Here's Nardi. Shakes a couple defenders. Jabber with the steal. And it's going to be Oz. Oz stripped from Foy from behind, preventing the breakaway layup. But it's 10 ball out of bounds underneath the basket on the far side with 1:52 to go and a 7-point deficit for the Quakers.
Everybody did everything right on that play. Foy not quitting on that. Knocks the ball out of bounds. Saves Villanova from giving up the easy bucket.
Begley, long inbound pass to Jabber. Ray is just all over Begley. Jabber backs it out, 1:45 to go.
Jabber knows he can take Nardi off the dribble.
Now he's going to pull off.
Foul him.
Long two, no good. Rebound Sumter. Looks like he did get some of the arm, and there wasn't a call.
Nice job by Nardi by going right up between Jabber's arms.
Yeah, Jabber wants to know where the foul call is, but unfortunately at the pavilion, not getting it. 1:30 to go, 7-point lead for Nova, and they have the ball, and Jay Wright takes the timeout.
Got to give Penn credit, man. They just keep fighting and keep fighting, and somebody makes a play, and Villanova makes a mistake, and Penn capitalizes on it. Unbelievable opportunity right there to cut the game to 4 with a minute and a half to go, just not able to get the shot to fall.
And again, unable to get Begley open at all, even to get him the ball in that possession.
Villanova's going to take the air out of the ball here. They're going to force Penn to foul him, and you got to hope that Villanova misses.
I mean, the guys left on the floor, you can't poison at 88, Ray's at 80, Sumter 85%, and 9 of 10 at the line this evening. 16 points, 12 rebounds.
What'd you say Nardi shoots?
Nardi's at 80, only 4 or 5 though, and Nardi hasn't been to the line tonight.
Nardi just doesn't look like a shooter. He doesn't look like he's got that stroke. As Penn traps over half court.
Sumter gets it out, though, to Ray. Ray's going to head to the hole. Ray over Begley is
nice
good.
Shot. Nice finish by Ray.
Well, 9-point lead, 1:15 to go. Osmond's been dribbling around for Penn in the front court. Nothing there. Bounce pass to Pettinella. Loses it, gets it back. He's stripped but fouled by Marcus Austin. That'll be two shots coming
That's
up.
That's got to be on Nardi.
They did. They got Nardi.
Nardi, who's never committed a foul in his entire life, if you'd ask him. Not a whole lot of question about there. He did a Lawrence Taylor karate chop on him. Did force the fumble, but in this league, that's a foul.
All right, to keep Penn alive, the Quakers need these free throws. Penn now a 4 of 8 at the line. Got it, and it's 69-61.
Can't really complain about what Pettinella's giving you tonight.
Pettinella's been terrific. 9 points. Only 2 of 7 from the field, but as he gets both to go, and it's 69-62. 1 minute to go. 106 exactly. And Nardi gets the inbound pass. Gotta wonder who they'll foul. Lowry to Nardi. Begley on him. Nardi.
Close.
Nardi baseline to Foy, layup no good, tip is over Ficchio, Dick Ellison box boy out, 71-62, and that probably will do it. 45 seconds to go, and Begley, turnaround three is no good. Jabber flying in for the rebound, not there, and Nardi throws it nearly away, picked up by Oz for three, no good. Rebound out of bounds off of Petinella, and it'll be Villanova ball with 35.1 to go, and Fran Duffy takes a timeout, 71-62.
He said Picchio didn't box Foy out. The problem right there was Picchio had to challenge Foy on the shot. Picchio's the reason that the shot doesn't go in. Somebody else has to come up with that rebound. Foy, just a quicker leaper on the second time up, able to knock that down. Makes it nine, and just not able to make a shot at this end. 71-62, 35.1 to go. This one's not over yet, Adam. Come on now.
Yeah? You're a believer, huh?
No, unless you want to leave with the rest of these Villanova fans, I'm...
You're
still holding out hope.
Either way, though, Vince.
Don't give me the moral victories at this point.
No.
Adam.
Tough game on the road for Penn. A game when you do is always tough to play here at the Pavilion. A game where they had plenty of chances to come in and win. And really, a game Penn's not really used to playing, necessarily. Very up and down. And played at the pace that they're not a lot of threes taken. They've taken 15. Begley's only taken one of them. Danley, almost nothing out there. 0-2 from the field and foul trouble for most of this game as Villanova gets it over the timeline with no problem. Foy now, and Begley's going to foul from behind with 27 seconds left and a 9-point lead.
Villanova on that last possession where they got the basket from Ray, as they were going over half court, the clock was right at the 25 mark. So it's one of those things that you almost get the call back going your way. I'm not saying it was a call. It's just one of those things that it could have been a 10-second violation. Villanova attacks, gets the two-pointer. Otherwise, you know, if it were pen ball, there's still a little hope.
Foy misses the first. 9-point lead, 27. Still a three-possession game with 27 seconds to go.
Boy, just teasing us right now. Wants to keep it a three-possession game. Give us Penn faithful a little hope.
Not make that 10-point game. Begley ahead to Oz, quickly to the hole. Oz, reverse layup blocked by Sumter. And that should do it. Let's see if they call off the hound. Picchio with 60 seconds left, fouls Nardi.
Not sure why Sumter's going anywhere near that play by Oz. Last thing you want to do is foul a guy at that point.
Not in my house.
I guess it is some of that not in my house, but it's a 10-point game. If somehow Oz knocks that down and you commit the stupid foul, one, you foul out of the game, and two, you put him on the line for a three-pointer. Now, Sumter's only got two. I haven't been able to get this right all day.
Picchio's got his four. Sumter has two. 15 points and 13 boards. An impressive 9-10 at the line performance.
This is double-double.
Oz and Picchio with 10. Begley finishes, well, looks like he might finish this one with 2 points. 0-2 from the field and a prayer heave of a three. 2-4 at the line, but 7 boards, 4 assists. As he fouls out, if you're not the only one having problems keeping track of the fouls, there's been so many of them. 27 unofficially for Penn, 23 for Villanova. 27 is a lot of fouls.
27 is a lot of fouls. There's no doubt about that.
36 free throw attempts is a lot of free throw attempts for a team, and Villanova's hit 26 of them.
Don't call you the best play-by-play man in the business for nothing, Adam.
That be the internet business then.
As Nardi steps up, makes the first one.
73-62. And just where we started at the half, an 11-point lead for Villanova, and now it's 12. Whitehurst in the game, by the way, for the Quakers. Oz has been going to the hole on Lowry. One-handed jam by Oz. And Fred Dunphy calls a timeout with 10.1 to go.
That explosion by Oz. I didn't know he had that in him. A little shake and bake. Goes up, throws down. The spine chiller supreme. I got two friends over there that want to go to a New Year's Eve party. They're saying, what's up? Call a timeout for him. So even my friends want to go home at this point.
Vince still holding out hope, though.
I am still holding out hope, Ab.
That's what we love about you, Vince. They don't call you the most optimistic analyst in the business either, Vince.
I am the most optimistic. There's
no
doubt about
that. Don't lose that, Vince. And Happy New Year, by the way, to you and the whole Curran family and the Ryan family as well.
That'll do it. They're not going to foul him here at this point.
Nardi has it, and he'll dribble it out. And that'll do it. 74-64. Quakers lose by 10 to Villanova for two straight years, Vince. Last year, 73-63. This year, 74-64. You're not a moral victory guy, so what do you take out of this for Penn?
I am not at all a moral victory guy. What do I take out of this for Penn?
Especially when it comes to Villanova.
I take out of this for Penn, Ryan Fetinella looks like he is rounding into form. If you get him a little bit more comfortable at the free throw line, he's going to be terrific. TV Jabber, a solid game coming off the a tough game at Temple. Osmondson played fairly well. Tim Begley, two games in a row, unable to get a lot of shots off. That's a cause for concern. Mark Zoller, 1-for-8. Again, we kind of know that Zoller's going to struggle a little bit more against big athletic front courts. So Zoller struggling a little bit tonight is not as big a concern long term. You want to see him play better in big games against bigger teams, but it's not a killer. He'll be back. And other than that, a lot of good things happen. You're not sure how the guard rotation is going to work out. Whitehurst looks like he's going to be able to contribute a little bit. Fickiel seemed to get a little bit of his flow back. A lot of good things happened. Unfortunately, it just didn't reflect it on the scoreboard.
This, as a coach, what can you do? What can this coaching staff do to try to free up a guy like Tim Begley? How do you rework the offense?
Well, I think it's going to be a lot easier against some other teams.
Well, certainly,
Villanova, to their credit,
yeah,
has a couple of 6'5", 6'6", swingmen that they just kept running at him. Couple that with the fact that they decided that they were going to press the whole game and force Begley into that role of handling the ball there. Are there going to be a lot of teams left on Penn's schedule that can press and throw 3 or 4 6'5" guys at Tim Begley? Probably not. So I don't know that this is a long-term concern issue. I think that Penn's schedule coming up, there's not going to be, you have San Francisco, Illinois, Chicago. I'm going to be honest with you, Adam. I don't know a whole lot about those teams other than their records. Both seem to be playing fairly well. Ryder, Begley should be able to get a shot off against them. St. Joe, everybody else the rest of the way, it shouldn't be as big an issue with Begley getting a shot off. So I'm not concerned about that as much long term. If anything, I want to focus on the guys that did step up and play well against better players. You got to hope that when that translates into these games going forward, that they're going to have similar types of success. Oz is getting it going. Evie's getting it going. So you've now got three threats in the backcourt. We talked about earlier in the year, before the Temple game, how there was really only one backcourt threat. Now you've got three. You've got three guys that are legitimate threats in the backcourt. They're not superstars. They're not, you know, they're not all Tim Begley. But you've got those two guys that can complement and make shots when you need them to make shots, be in the right position. So that, I think, is a positive. As far as the front court's concerned, Petinella stepping up, I think, is fantastic. I think that that's something that, and I shouldn't really say stepping up, because he played fairly well at this point, but he played well in a big game against a big athletic front court. He's the type of kid that Danley and Zoller don't have that skill. They've got other skills, but their ability against these big athletic teams, Petinella has that. Now, taking my Tim Begley argument the other way, I don't know how many big athletic front courts that are going to play. Penn's going to play the rest of the way. So, you know, what does that do to Petinella? Hopefully, all it
Princeton,
does is...
Princeton for
Princeton,
one.
Yeah. Well, hopefully all it does is Petinella, you know what, I can play. You got to put me out there. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to get you 6 boards, and I'm going to get you 10 points, and I'm going to get you a couple assists, and I'm going to hustle, and I'm going to make a couple of mistakes, but so what? Yeah.
But he gives you an energy, in athleticism down low, and you take a look and heading into the season. So look at the 10-2 leading scorers tonight had a combined 4 points.
But just to finish that, Dump said he wants those four guys to split those front court minutes. And going into this game, you would have said, yeah, I don't know whether that's really going to happen. If Petinella plays like he plays tonight and Jan plays like he plays tonight.
Jan had a good game today.
How do you not play those four guys? You know Zoller's going to be back. So you can keep those guys fresh. You rotate them in, and you're able to attack in the front court the same way you were trying to attack in the back court. You're going to need to get contributions out of Freya Beattie and out of Whitehurst. And if you get those things going forward, there isn't a team like Villanova left on the schedule. You know, say San Francisco and Illinois, Chicago, as I said, I know a little bit about them, but not a ton.
Well, and that will be one of the big challenges from here on out is a problem. I don't know if Fran Dunphy's had to deal with much during his 16-year career here, and that is finding a guy off the bench who can be an offensive threat at the one, the two, or the three. And that is, you know, given the loss of Catch, who not this, let's put it this way, Catch wasn't exactly scoring
like
15 points
playing,
a game.
Yeah, not like Catch was playing 20 minutes tonight.
No.
Let's be honest. Dunk likes to play a core group of guys.
Right.
This is a luxury problem that he has this year that he hasn't had in other years, which is a lot of depth. You love that depth. But he wants to send seven guys, eight guys out there, and that's it. He wants to play the game with his core group. This year, he's being forced to manage time and manage minutes a little bit more. The Catch situation, yeah, it makes it a little bit more difficult because there was a guy that had been in the rotation, but it's not like Dump's in a position where he's like, oh gosh, what do I do? I now only have three backcourt players. He's got a Priyabidi who can play a little bit. He's got Whitehurst that can play a little bit, but he's also used to saying, here you go, Matt, here you go, Jerome, you're playing 39 minutes tonight. You know, or here you go, Mike Jordan, here you go, Matt Langley, you guys are playing 39 tonight. Go back to Paul Chambers. Paul Chambers played 39 minutes tonight.
It's amazing how even this game was, Vince. Both teams shot almost identical numbers from the field, 21 of 55, Villanova 20 of 51. From three, 10 at five, Villanova at six. Obviously, the two big differences. You look at points in the paint, which wasn't one of them, 26-26. Second, points up turnovers, 17-15, Villanova. But obviously, the free throws tonight where Villanova scored 11 more than 10, and rebounding at 44-34, which obviously wasn't a huge surprise, given that, but still well within a respectable margin for the Quakers. But certainly in the middle of that second half is where the Quakers had their chance to really creep back in. But
by the way, take that. There are also 18 rebounds that Penn got. So, and Villanova had three. So that widens that gap a little bit. Team rebounds, missed free throws of the front. You know, front end of a missed free throw. I don't know how they whack those up. But the gap was a little bit wider on the rebounds. You knew that coming in. But when it all comes down to it, Penn goes 17 for 29 from the line. They got a little bit hot there at the end. But
what mattered when they really were making that push?
When they made that push, they got it to six. I think they got it to six and had a chance. But, you know, they could have cut it to four if they had made their free throws and they just weren't able to do it. What are you going to do?
Nothing.
They don't go in. You practice it.
And maybe it's something in a game situation now. You sit out, you practice it, you plan to collect your end of practice when you're tired. Doesn't necessarily have the same impact.
You concentrate. And, you know, some guys are going to step up and make them, and some guys aren't going to step up and make them. You know, it's that simple. You can keep practicing. You're going to get better at them the more you practice. But you can't spend your entire practice or your entire day shooting free throws. You know, it's something that you just have to have a knack for, and you have to know how much you can practice to improve.
And we've got one more Big Five game as they fall to 1-2 in the Big Five. That against St. Joe's, who seemingly everyone's beaten up on these days, including San Francisco.
Why did you say that, Adam? You're just tempting the basketball fates right now. Yeah. Everybody's beating up on St. Joe's.
Bucknell at home.
Here we go. Adam, St. Joe's is going to be tough. Always a tough matchup for Penn. Martelli's going to have them ready. He doesn't want to lose.
Oh, Fran Dunphy.
Fran Dunphy, yeah. But you wouldn't say that, you know, everybody's been beating up on Penn. You would say, hey, Penn's lost some tough games. Everybody's been beating up on St. Joe's. And while it's nice that they're getting their comeuppance a little bit this year, you know, let's save the everybody's been beating up on St. Joe's until after we get our chance to beat up on
them. No doubt about that, Ben. All right, that'll wrap it up here from the pavilion. The final score, 74-64 in favor of the home team as Penn falls to 4-4. Villanova, their sixth straight win, they go to 7-1. The next Quaker game, of course, will be on Tuesday night, first game of the new year, at San Francisco. That game at 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow that at Chicago. And then back home at the Palestra against Ryder. So, next three games for the Pennsylvania Quakers. And they'll try to put the pieces back together and take some of the good that has happened over the last couple games and carry it over into the new year, as Ivy basketball is only a month away. That looms large. For Brian Seltzer and Vince Curran, this is Adam Herzog wishing all of you a very happy and healthy new year. And we will see you in 2005.